Around Comics, episode 53.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a weekly roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the co-host of Around Comics, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello again.
And we have our Around Comics regular, Mr. Tom Caters.
I'm here to represent all white men in their late 20s who are straight.
Very good, Tom.
Yeah.
And officially joining our podcast for the first time is our new producer. He is a longtime listener and friend of the show.
What were we calling him?
The intern.
The former intern.
He now has producer status.
He's now a producer.
He now gets a beer without asking.
He is Mr. Dustin Grace.
Hi.
And in the background, as he will remain.
Thank you.
And our guest this week is one of the hosts of a relatively new comic book podcast called The Comic Book Queers. He is Stevie D.
Thanks, guys, for having me here. I was really, really happy that I was invited.
There goes the credibility of this show.
Did you have any?
No. Absolutely.
Steve, welcome to the show, and thank you for being on Around Comics.
Well, thank you.
I have a complaint. The only reason I agreed to this topic was because Chris promised me hot lipstick lesbians were going to be here.
Well,
I don't see any.
Second half.
All right. They're only on TV, my friend.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Let's go to Stargaze up in Andersonville. I'll show you.
Well, I'm sure these people are going to be really happy about this, but this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by the New York Comic Con.
The New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd through the 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPG, MMOs, toys, movies, TV, celebrities, and more.
Jesus.
Guest of honor includes Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, and George Perez, with many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests, as well as show information, visit www.nycomiccon.com. That's two C's, nycomiccon.com. Okay. Buy your tickets online now to ensure your spot for the 2007 show. Don't miss out on the 2007 New York Comic Con. Visit the website to get all the information you need.
Don't wait in line and then complain about it for a year. Buy your tickets ahead of time.
And if you're going to be in New York at the end of February and you're at the New York Comic Con, you can come by and see us because we're going
to
be there.
Don't talk to us.
You're still sponsoring the how hard can you hit Chris in the face contest.
I like to keep a distance. I like to be distant. I'll be wearing sunglasses and a suit.
Well, if you're not in New York at the end of February, but you're in Chicago on any Friday, you can come by Dark Tower Comics because Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago.
The 7 to 9 part?
Never ends it.
We record this show magically only takes 45 minutes to record, and we end up with 2 hours.
It's decompressed,
yeah.
All right, so if you're in Chicago on a Friday and you want to go to a comic shop, come by and see us.
have nothing to do.
Especially, please come by December 29th, Friday, December 29th, because Chris will not be here that Friday night for the show because he's getting married.
Yay.
Congratulations, Chris.
Whoa, what?
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Chris is.
I mean, I can't legally marry her.
She's going to make an honest man of me. Courthouse wedding and all.
Nice.
Romantic.
But in the meantime, you can participate in our October-November contest, which we are calling our Exterminators Bug Hunt.
Here's a chance to jump into the amazing world of the Exterminators. From now until November 30th, you need to find 10 items spread out over issues 6, 7, 8, and 9 of the Exterminators. Write down that issue page and panel that each one can be found in and email us your answers at info@aroundcomics.com. We'll draw from all the correct entries to find the Bug Hunt winner. First place will receive a signed copy of the first Exterminators collected edition, Bug Brothers, as well as a signed script from author Simon Oliver and a one-of-a-kind sketch from series artist Tony Moore.
Ooh.
Second place will receive a signed copy of Bug Brothers, and everyone else will have the enjoyment of reading one of the finest comics being produced today.
So am I now exempt from that contest because I'm here tonight?
Yes. Sorry.
You can still... No, I'm...
For all the contest details and your list of items, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Click on the Exterminators Bug Hunt banner. Good hunting.
Good hunting.
There you go.
I don't know. You have to you have to read the series. So if you've not read Exterminators, which if you haven't read Exterminators, it's really kind of hard to be a guest on Around Comics.
I have not read it.
You should.
You will.
Okay.
Okay.
Eventually.
I kind of feel like, and this has nothing to do with the contest, but I don't get to read announcements anymore, and I feel a little bit like Willard Scott, where they like wheel him out once a week to say happy birthday to the old people.
We'd let you read them, Tom, but we found very quickly that
the sponsors don't enjoy the way I read them.
Maybe it's because you're drunk all the time. I don't know.
Tom, why don't you tell the listeners about the Long Box of Love?
Oh, because Brian won't complain.
Well, true.
You know what? I'm going to do this the best I can. Long Box of Love. Remember that your Around Comics experience isn't complete until you've read this week's Long Box of Love. Each episode of Around Comics is a wonderfully handcrafted webcomic from Brian Bowles. Check it out every Monday at www.aroundcomics.com.
Very nice, Tom.
And now we know why you don't get to read the announcements.
Fuck.
And while you're at
aroundcomics.com. They had to write it up phonetically for me.
Anything that Tom reads, we can't put, like, you know,
exclamation marks,
parentheses, dashes.
I read, when I was in second grade, I read at an eighth grade level. So I've just continued.
Then use parentheses
it's been downhill from there.
Huh? No, that's the proper way to read in Shakespearean times, was to announce. Open paren, close paren, so people get the full experience of reading it.
You're a Renaissance man.
Anywho.
While you're at AroundComics.com checking out the Long Box of Love, you can also do us a solid and fill out the listener survey. It has a lot of questions, lets us know who we are talking to, and how we can make Around Comics a better show.
Because it ain't getting much worse. Just kidding.
All right, guys. Today's main topic.
I know.
We are talking about homosexuality in comics. Now, homosexual characters and stories are nothing new to the world of comics, especially in underground, alternative, and independent comics. But there's been a recent trend in mainstream comics to include gay, bi, and lesbian characters and themes. We'll talk about some of the direct examples.
What about transgender?
And transgender.
You left those out?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's LBGT.
What a dick move. sorry transgender listeners.
Hey, you know, I mean.
So we will talk about some of the direct examples of those as we go, but I want to start with our guest today, Steve, as not only a comic book fan, but a member of the gay community. How do you feel that homosexuality is being portrayed in mainstream comics today as opposed to 5, 10, or even 15 years ago?
Well, we're getting to see more of it, which is actually nice, but at the same time, I get concerned because you have issues like what Marvel's been doing with the Rawhide Kid, where he's out of the closet, the next thing you know, through the Marvel handbook, he's in the closet, and then he's not really gay because he was just pretending. And then you have issues like Young Avengers and the Young Avengers Runaways miniseries, where, ironically enough, and this could just be coincidence, I don't know, but the only characters in that comic so far that have been captured by the main villain and have been tortured have been the gay characters. I don't think that there's a mandate coming down from Joe Quesadilla saying, hey, let's string those faggots up. But I think that people need to be a little more conscious about what they're doing.
Yeah, I think we talked, you know, not to deviate too much, but, you know, with Civil War, what was the last issue of Civil War? If you were, you know, a black comic fan.
The most Aryan character in the universe is Shadow Hulk.
Biggest black character in the Marvel universe. Yes. Yeah, so.
Well, it is an interesting point, you know, that I hadn't considered, but we do hear it whenever we talk about, you know, female characters in comics also, is that inevitably, it always seems to be the first character killed in a book or tortured or whatever it is. I mean, there's a long lineage of that happening
in
comics.
Might as well put a red shirt and send him on an away mission at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
That was a good one.
That was nerdy. But
he has his 30-foot-long Doctor Who scarf on right now. He just rug out that nerd joke.
Nerd props to you,
recently, though, and probably going back 2-3 years, but, you know, gay characters are becoming more prominent in comics, and what I like about it is that it's not, for the most part, a big announcement. It's being allowed in the stories to just kind of
except
unfold.
For Batgirl.
Well, except for Batwoman.
Yeah.
Well, Rawhide Kid had a big announcement as well, too, and let's don't forget about Judd Winnick, which, sidebar, any kind of gay character he writes doesn't really count, by the way. But when he did the gay assistant in Green Lantern, he was on the fucking Donahue show for that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the now defunct Donahue show.
Yeah.
You know, they've
made the announcements, they've gotten the characters out there, and they do use it, I think, especially recently, they've been using it more as a marketing ploy.
Well, they're like carnival barkers. I mean, there isn't that big of a difference between that and people that hawk comic books, online.
But do you see that maybe it's not them being more the carnival barker as opposed to maybe media running with it a little bit more?
Exactly.
The Batwoman announcement, that was kind of not taken out of context, but it was a part of other DC announcements, and the media just seemed to pick up on that, and they just filtered that part of it and ran with it.
Oh, they definitely did. And that's what I think is, it's not so much that the comic book companies are wrong or the publishers are really wrong for what they're doing. In fact, I applaud them for including gay and lesbian and sometimes bi characters in
Don't
there.
Don't forget transgender.
I can't forget the transgender, let me tell you. I'm constantly reminded about the transgender.
Now, letters from angry transgender listeners.
Every day, I feel those, Tom. Constantly. They're like, shut the fuck up, you suck.
Your show is terrible.
Well, do you think it's sometimes, it's just a reaction by the comic book publishers from, sort of, I don't want to say being hit over the head or being, sort of admonished for not having enough. I mean, you have 50 years of comic books where in any medium, gay characters were not talked about, whether it was movies or television or, mainstream literature to some degree, but... And now you're trying to play catch-up with that. And so you're sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't sometimes, I feel.
Right, you are.
And do you think sometimes it's just, they try and make noise about it because they're reacting to,
No, I don't. I think the publishers are using it strictly as a marketing tool. I think they're using it to get press for themselves. In all honesty, they want to sell more books. Now, granted, you guys had a poster on your message boards that came out and said, I don't think that this is really selling that many books. 52, when they announced Batwoman coming out in 52, I'm sure they didn't sell more of that issue than they had the previous issues, and I believe that as well. However, look at the press they got for that.
Right.
And granted, it was, like you said, Chris, it was bad press, basically, because all the media did was take out Batwoman lesbian.
I think it depends on where you read the press. The BBC news on it that I read was very good.
US
news was,
whether the headlines like lesbian bat and Batwoman, with a big exclamation mark. I'm sure the BBC didn't have lipstick lesbian Batwoman.
They sent a picture of some chick in a bikini because they're like, they didn't have the actual picture of Batwoman. So,
well, I think this we need
Benny Hill music playing in the background.
I think it's kind of a chicken and egg deal, because we look, is it company driven or is it creator driven? Because I think that there are a lot of creators out there that don't feel a need to write gay characters into stories. It just kind of evolves that way, and I don't know that there's an actual agenda with a lot of those writers. You look at someone like Brian K. Vaughan, you look at Warren Ellis with Authority, but I think there's those cases, and there I think there are some company-driven agendas. DC is obviously trying to become more diversified between ethnic groups and incorporating.
Well, but that's sort of my point. Is what happened with Batwoman such a horrible thing? I mean, we all sort of blame them for blatant marketing of a comic, but
why not?
Why shouldn't they? Or at least they're. They're trying to do something to diversify their comics. I mean, isn't that a good thing in the end, no matter what?
Because, the market will decide whether or not, if people don't like it, then they'll stop selling it.
So well, in all honesty, I think that it's the same issue with the new Atom. The all-new Atom, they came out and they made him a Chinese person. There were people that were really upset about that because they feel that Ray Palmer is the only Atom out there.
Atom is a wasp. That's all they can be.
But that – no, wait. Marvel's Yellow Jacket. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't forget Ant-Man. But I think, it's maybe it boils down to motivation. Are we, as an industry, trying to incorporate LGBT characters into our books from a moral standpoint of trying to be more diverse, trying to have a wider sweeping look of the world, or are we doing it for – monetary reasons? So I think it really comes down to what the motivation is for those companies to
ultimately it's always about money.
The dollar. But I think from a creator side, different.
From a creator side, different, but I mean, they're trying to sell books too. I mean, don't just because a creator happens to be a writer or an artist doesn't mean they're not trying to sell something.
Right.
And won't necessarily do something that they think will sell more books. I'm not saying what, you know, necessarily that that's the case, but I don't want to just, you know, give the writers and artists complete, you know,
there doesn't have to be a bond. There doesn't have to be a difference between trying to make money and making good art either. Those aren't like necessarily separate ideas.
But there is a difference between those two though, because you have to look at your fan base, you have to look at the market that you're going toward.
But you can achieve both.
I agree, but let's be real, the main market for comic books, who are they?
Women.
They're fat white masses like you people. Yeah.
I'm
bone.
Working out three times a week.
I'm big bone. Yeah. And I'm not white.
I don't always eat an Italian beef sandwich while we're recording.
The point is, and I think that's part of it too, is that, you know, the market is and has always been, for the most part, white, male, you know, 18 to 25, or 18 to 35 now, I would say. But and so they're going after that demographic in a general sense, but to some degree they're trying to, you know, broaden their scope and get as many readers as possible.
We were talking about this on the way up to the store tonight, that I think as the comics community has gotten a little bit older, maybe hopefully a little bit more intelligent, depends on what message board you post on, but you look at comic books, and if you want to throw them into the arts, then I think that there's a pretty close relationship between the arts and the gay community. And comic books,
why do you say that?
Well, but I think it's a pretty easy transition for older, more mature comic book fans to be more comfortable with that, as opposed to 1950s or 60s or even 70s comic book fans.
Well, it's not subversive anymore. It's not like, you know, you don't see artists trying to put that in the books subversively. They're not trying to hide it. You know, there's no...
Gay characters have been there since the beginning.
Right.
I mean, we've had gay characters in cinema, for example. There's a wonderful documentary called The Celluloid Closet, which I encourage people to watch it, straight, gay, anybody. They show you basically how the screenwriters and how the directors, how people got those characters into those movies past the censors, especially during the 40s and 50s when we had censorship there. And it's amazing what was acceptable and what wasn't acceptable. You know, there was a time that just about any Doris Day movie, her best friend was a very effeminate gay man that she either worked with or lived next door to or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that was acceptable because people knew when they saw him, they're like, oh, there's that little fairy hanging out with Doris. And that was fine for them because they never actually addressed it. The problem comes around when people actually start addressing it. And it's like in these comic books, you know, there's some guy out there right now either listening to this or living in his mom's basement, where he was a major fan of Obsidian during the Infinity Inc. days. And he saw that Manhunter comic come out, and he thought, that chick's got some big tits. I'm going to buy that. And so he picked it up, and all of a sudden, Obsidian is a
exactly. The world has just collapsed.
Obsidian, they had been hinting that he'd been gay for a long time, actually, like all the way back to when he was in the very bad Justice League America.
Yes, awful Justice League America.
God, yeah, that was terrible.
No, but
where he had
the point,
crush on Nuklon. I mean, come on.
But I think
with the mohawk. He's got issues.
They're going off on JLA. They're having a geek moment. Let him go.
The point, though, is that the problem is when it...
Sorry. He's on a roll.
It's transgender because Wally West couldn't figure out if it was a man or a woman, and that was a big joke in all the issues. Hardy har har. Those issues sucked. All right, back to the...
I didn't actually read those.
I did,
but when look here. This is part of my point though about the whole homosexuality thing. People in any minority community are reaching and looking for representation in their entertainment.
Sure.
And when the Obsidian thing came up way back in the day in those Justice League awful comics, I picked one up. I didn't actually buy it. I just picked it up and flipped through it just to see that panel where he said to Nuklon, I'm not really sure how I feel. I mean, you're kind of cool. I kind of like you, but I'm not really sure.
So wishy-washy.
And that was fine for me, you know, at the time. Now I want to see full blown, you know, man on man action.
Obsidian needs to get some.
And don't lie to me. Don't tell me you guys wouldn't like a little, you know, lady on lady action. You're gonna buy a Batwoman set.
Well, that's how I got Sal to come
honestly,
to the show.
I'm sweating all over the microphone. No.
Tom's just thinking about those videos he has at home.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny because I've always kind of ignored any type. And this came up in our forum a lot. It was about sexuality and any mm-hmm. type of sexuality in comics. And I'm sort of the mindset too is that I don't necessarily read comics for sexuality, for sexual anything. I don't pick up comics because there's some chick on it with big tits or anything else.
You watch porn for that.
Exactly. I go to the source, you know, where it's done best. I mean, there's, you know, no, but, but I understand your point. There's a huge, you know, there are plenty of people that do. There are plenty of people that buy comics for those reasons and others. And like you said, the representation of what you're looking for. I think the problem a lot of times comes in when, because, and even as you were talking about it, it's like, well, I don't really look at comics for a representation of myself, but I don't have to look.
Exactly.
Because they're there. Right. I mean, they're everywhere, you know what I mean? And so that was interesting to me to just sort of go, well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense now.
It's funny because in our own way, we are a minority because we are comic book fans. It is not a mainstream entertainment. And look at how many comic fans are constantly, you know, reaching out and trying to tell the rest of the world how cool comics are. Anytime there's a comic book movie, you know, we're right there to, to stand at the tallest hill that
hugging people as they go into the theater.
Except you, because you still haven't seen, you know, V for Vendetta.
No, I own V for Vendetta.
It's a damn good movie.
Speaking of V for Vendetta, you want to talk about gay and lesbian themes in a comic book? It's V for Vendetta, especially in the movie, I felt really addressed that as far as the persecution of the homosexual community. And I thought that was a brilliant movie and how it addressed that.
Oh, I think they spoke about anybody who was being persecuted.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought it was a blanket comment, and I loved it.
Anyone who wasn't the norm.
And I'll fucking love a place, damn
you know
it.
What the interesting thing about talking about looking for representation of yourself in media, because before you said that, the way I would have thought of it is, for me, for decades, there pretty much was no sexuality really at all, as far from like my point of view in comic books. So, like, Barry Allen was straight, but it was such a little. I mean, like, he had Iris Allen, but you never saw him.
It didn't have much to do with the story.
Yeah, it didn't have much to do with the story. But then again, like, I'm not looking.
I think you bring up a good point, because up until maybe 10, 15 years ago, comic book stories were a much different thing. They were much simpler, and it was much. It was about action. And,
I mean,
and
like, it didn't matter.
It wasn't about the personal lives of these characters.
Right.
Very little.
And today, it's much more so, or at least in mainstream books, at least they're attempting to be much more, character development. And anytime you're dealing with character development, you have to talk about relationships. And
I agree, and we'll get to this more in the forum post, but in exploring the characters and exploring the worlds that these characters live in to help get into their character development, it has to be a more immersive world. And so it's not a WASP dominated black and white world, and I think that this is a very natural progression to make the world that our characters live in mirror the ones that we do. It's not as much escapism as it is immersion anymore in comics.
But I think it brings up a problem. I think because when you start dealing with, you know, a character that is gay, you basically, you know, to me it's like you either are dealing with the story and it turns into a gay story.
What did he do? But in our last episode, Eric and I were talking about huffing comics. And old school newsprint comics. And I just looked over and there's someone huffing a comic.
And, really good comic.
You know, I'll tell you that.
Smell that old awesome newsprint.
Because I'm gay.
Interestingly enough, you know, that I found that my absolute editions of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen smell like tea leaves. Yeah. Which is the weirdest thing. I'm sitting there reading, I'm like, why
all,
do these smell
all of
like
my
tea?
Grant Morrison comics smell like pot.
Well, there you go. Anyway, I don't know what I was trying
where
to get
we?
To.
Wait, what? Yeah.
Gage.
Hey, hi, Kyle.
How are you?
Hello.
Good, how are you
doing?
Kyle just said he'll be over in a second. Kyle is actually the gentleman who was very, very much responsible for us talking to John Byrne. So
that he is.
And he'll be over in a little bit.
What I was trying to say was that I think it's sort of a double-edged sword, because once you introduce, say, a gay character into a book, you are either offhandedly remarking about it or you're dealing with
that issue.
It's very hard to do neither and address both.
There is a way to do that.
There is a way. I think there is a way.
And I think that most of the creators that are out there right now attempting to put homosexual characters in there, as if whether it's an editorial mandate or whether it's their own idea, i.e. Judd Winnick, usually it's to make a statement. And in all honesty, I don't want to see that.
I really don't
give a shit about that. I would rather see like people in your forum have been talking about, a good story with good characterization. Mm-hmm. And if the person is gay, that happens to be part of it.
Well, I think to me, one of the best examples of it for the bulk of the work was The Authority with Apollo and Midnighter. Mm-hmm. To me, two of my favorite characters in that book, two of my favorite superhero characters, and at times there were stories that dealt with their relationship. But it wasn't ever trying to make a point, necessarily. It was just dealing with two people that loved one another, regardless of whether they were gay or straight.
No, I never made it past the first series of The Authority.
It was later on in... I'm trying to think of whose run it was.
I was thinking about
this
a lot.
There was a very... It might have been actually Brubaker's run that
I was thinking about this a lot, about why that started to bother me at the end of it. And that... I sort of came to the conclusion.
You're homophobic,
Tom? Yeah, extremely. Very. I saw a gay man look at me, and I was like, "Oh God!" And then I got really scared.
What do I do?
What do I do?
Should I bend down?
I was an altar boy, so.
He's an altar boy.
I was an altar boy.
You definitely should be using social life.
What bothered me about, I think what really bothered me about the relationship at that point is because throughout the whole arc of the story, the relationship was sort of presented in a certain way as being not, it wasn't the whole part of the story. There was this overall theme of what The Authority was about, and it was a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly over time, all of a sudden, it became like, look at how...
Well, that was, Warren Ellis initially sort of hinted at it.
Yeah.
And then he got, very good reaction to it. And that's when,
And then by the end of it,
isn't that where they had the kiss, though? Wasn't it in the first?
I believe it was in the first.
And it was done really well for a long time. And then.
And that's what I loved about that, because it was just like all of a sudden they were hinting, Warren Ellis was just hinting at it. He was just laying the groundwork. And then, boom, there's this kiss. And it was just that. It was just a kiss. And I thought that was fantastic.
Well, later, and it may have been Brubaker's run, which I know probably a lot of people haven't read, on The Authority, but there was a really good arc about, mostly it was about Midnighter, but, and I can't remember because I have a horrible memory, but I think it was with Jenny Sparks. They had sort of adopted her. She had come back to life, but she was a child named adopted.
Spoilers, guys.
Yeah, sorry. but anyway, the story basically just dealt with, Midnighter's love for Apollo and what he was trying to get back to him and save him and that kind of thing. So I just thought it was a touching story, and it had nothing to do with whether they were gay or straight. I mean, they were a gay couple, it was just a very touching story.
Well, unfortunately, there are some people that'll read that and they'll get the heebie-jeebies because they can't stop thinking. Quentin Crisp, he had this wonderful quote that I read. He said that the reason why straight men have a problem with homosexuality is because they can't stop thinking about what gay men do to each other in the bedroom. And if they could just stop thinking about that, they would realize that gay people are just people.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit, now I'm thinking about
See,
it.
See, there you go.
Fuck.
I noticed the table moved a little bit there, Tom.
I'm scared now.
And
I can't stop thinking of it.
I think, you're always going to have people, no matter what, I think that are going to
be. I think what you're worried about, though, with these characters, that is that once you reveal that they're gay, that you've now put them in a box.
Right.
And you're not going to be able to get out of that box of.
Not that you can't get out of it, but so many writers just fall into the trap.
It's true, though. I mean, hi, North Star, anyone?
Yeah.
You can't get him out of that anymore.
That's all that character is now. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be that way. To me, it shouldn't be. the defining, you know, aspect of that.
Your sexual, your well, sexual, gets enough flame your sexual orientation, whether heterosexual or homosexual or bisexual, should never be the defining characteristic of you as a person.
And unless you are Hal Jordan, then it's extremely important that you're straight? The straightest man.
The straightest man.
Wait,
in
wasn't
the
he
world.
A wait? What did they make him a school teacher after a while? They
no, made, he, was
went
a,
from
he was
a
toy
he
salesman.
From a pilot to a toy salesman?
Oh, insurance yeah. salesman, truck driver.
Anyway. But
straight,
maybe it's just selfishness on my own part, but I just think that is the only way that you are dealing with good writing. Otherwise, it's just very cliche and it doesn't serve the story at all.
Characters need to have more motivation than their sexual orientation. Regardless.
Unless that's the story you're trying to tell. Unless that's what you're trying... And that's fine. If that's the story you want to deal with, but too many stories are trying to deal with this story here and then also trying to, you know, secondly deal with another issue.
The backlash of that, though, is then you get a miniseries like the North Star miniseries. So they have them come out in, what was it, Alpha Flight 116, something like that?
I think it was 107.
I don't keep track of numbers, but
not that big of a nerd.
I'll call Eric later on. He'll tell me. But they had him come out in Alpha Flight, and then they announced that, I think it was it Scott Lobdell that wrote that?
Yep.
Thank you. And then they announced that they're going to have this miniseries. And in all honesty, I was excited because I thought to myself, well, we're finally going to deal with his personal life, his personal how he deals with, you know, himself mm-hmm. and what he does in his personal life. And the miniseries had absolutely nothing to do with that, and I was disappointed. It had really fun action, and it had some really crappy 90s villains, but, you know, I'm freezing my ass off in here. Is this a fucking meat locker? What the hell?
Hi, this is Greg Rucka, and we're all around comics.
Well, I don't think that we can talk about this topic without talking about North Star, as obviously the first big-time mainstream character that was openly gay in comics, and I think that character bridged the gap between homosexual innuendo and, you know, outright openness about his sexuality. And we saw in John Byrne's early work in Alpha Flight that there was a lot of, you know, hints and clues about it, and then we, you know, actually got to see that character revealed as being homosexual. From a straight comic book reader's perspective, I thought it was interesting. I picked it up. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, it's an interesting story. Steve, from your perspective, I mean, was that a big deal?
It was a big deal, but God, that story sucked. It was awful. I mean, come on, the fact that you had to marry his coming out to the AIDS crisis, and he adopts this little baby that you know is going to fucking die at the end anyway. I mean, how fucking sad is that? When he comes out, it shouldn't be, I'm going to adopt an AIDS baby, for I'm going to come out now.
Because, my life is now a tragedy.
Thank you. You know, it should have been more or less like he North Star, being who he is, should have just come out. It should have nothing to do with that AIDS baby. It should have just been him saying, yeah, I'm a big mo. Who gives a shit? You got a problem with it? I'm going to punch you in the face 100 times in a second.
But at least they did it.
I agree, and I was happy that they did it, to be honest with you. And I was actually – I was very happy to find out from John Byrne prior to – North Star's coming out. There was, and I think it was one of the X-Men companion books that I nerdily bought. John Byrne had mentioned how he had always intended for North Star to be a homosexual character, and how he had always laid the hints along the lines for you to find that. And of course, when I read that article, I went back to my old Alpha Flights and pulled them out, started flipping through to find out what he was talking about. Okay. Exactly, had those moments. So it was exciting for him to come out, but
Aurora saying, you know, how dare you talk about my personal life? Yeah. You know,
I just
you of all people.
I remember like
God, you know, quotes that scares me.
Well, I was just gonna lay one down.
Another fucking issue numbers.
Yeah.
11. I think it was on the fourth panel.
I just remember when like they were saying he, you know, he had never really been in any relationships, and they just played it off because he was too
a skier.
Yeah, because he was too concentrated on his skiing. It was just like right there. Oh well, you know, okay. They don't.
I have forsaken women to concentrate on my skiing.
I think there was a panel where he's like, I don't need love. I'm a skier. And that was the sign of a mountain.
So was North Star the first mainstream? I mean, I know in independent comics and underground stuff, there, you know, it had been dealt with before that, but
Hey, mainstream.
I think he seemed like the. I think he was the first mainstream character to actually come out.
Okay.
Sorry to disappoint you, Sal.
No, that's.
I contend that.
I never fucking liked that character anyway. So it didn't matter to me.
Funky Flashman from the Secret Society of Supervillains always struck me as slightly gay.
He's a little fey. Yes, he is.
Yeah. His mustache.
Well, I mean, at that time when North Star was coming out, I mean, you're reading Love and Rockets and really more into the late 90s, you know, 90s and late 90s independent scene where that stuff was being addressed.
Was it really being addressed or was it just being addressed from, let's say, a lesbian perspective? Because if it's just you know
that brings up a really interesting, because I'm of the mindset that like any lesbian character in comics doesn't count because it's cheap.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, guys in their 20s and 30s are instantly going to accept a lesbian character.
Every straight porn movie that you get has at least one, if not two, lesbian scenes in it. And there's at least three ways where the chicks are getting on more than the guys getting on with them.
Well, it's more social. It's a weird way. It's
socially acceptable? Is that where you're
socially?
No, it's true though. It is true.
Well, I mean,
I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going there.
No, but it is. I mean, it's like, okay, so, you know, introducing a lesbian character is a hell of a lot easier than introducing a male homosexual character.
Right, because most straight men have the fantasy of women or women anyway, absolutely. So they're going to accept that a lot more ready.
So those don't count. We can't even put those in the
docket. Sorry, those don't count, guys.
You know, it's funny. I was reading somebody had linked us to that Wikipedia. There's a pretty intensive Wikipedia article.
It'll be scary whenever we show up in that Wikipedia.
Yeah, no kidding. But as I was going through that, and then there was another website, and I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. The Gay League.
I told you we showed up.
Gay League.
Yeah.
I'm a member.
We're in the Ed Brubaker Wikipedia entry now.
Are you really?
Yeah, we are.
It's kind of frightening.
For the criminal? Was it the criminal interview?
No, for the Gotham Central.
And Karen Gillan's.
I really just discovered Ed Brubaker. He's awesome. I really like the stuff he's been doing. Yeah.
Ed is, go back to read Low Life. Read in it.
I'm sure we'll talk about Criminal later when we get to the top of the stack.
Yeah, it was good this week. All right, sorry.
But anyway, it was interesting because they had listed all the transgender characters that are in there, and you know, it's like any character that's a shapeshifter at one point or another went from, you know, male to female.
Yeah,
or
that's
female.
Cheating. I think.
Well, you know, it's just like,
mistake.
But the point, I mean, there's like there's dozens and dozens of more transgender characters technically in comics than there ever have been gay characters.
Well, then what does that say about the
I don't know
fan base?
Yeah, I don't know what you know. That's sort of interesting.
I wish I had titties. I don't know what that really means.
There's no way Chameleon from Legion of Superheroes is transgender. He is a dude who can make himself look like a woman. I'm kidding.
Well, other specific examples of, and you know, since lesbians don't count, we'll talk about.
I do like.
Nice.
We're
not
going to
get any mail. For
I do
that.
Like in that list how one of the guys from the Nasty Boys, one of those '90s horrible X-Men villain groups that I think Mr. Sinister had, they have him listed and then they have gay ? Someone listed it.
Sure,
like,
you know.
But I think it's funny that someone on Wikipedia was like, well, let's throw him in. Put a ? No, there's debate.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, on the Gay League website, there's a list of characters that are of questionable orientation, is how they put it. And, you know, I guess it's just a matter of
what.
Well, you know, I think writers a lot of times will put things in books without really thinking anything further into it. You know, whether, you know, it may just be, you know, a comment or whatever it is. And, you know, but going back to sort of your comments about your, you know, searching for someone to identify with, it's very easy to see how, you know, you're looking for that. So,
right.
You know, it means a lot more maybe to you than it would necessarily.
Oh, definitely. I mean, let's be real. If let's say you're an Irishman and you come to America, you want to find that representation of yourself there. And you're gonna wind up, I don't even know why I said Irishman, because I can't think of any funny Irish things to equate
Irish
to that.
Comic, but there Irish you go, comic character.
Yeah.
Banshee.
It just happened that way.
Was he Scottish?
Was he Scottish?
No, he's Irish. All right. Banshee's nationality aside, I tell you what. Let's move on to a couple
Mine
forum posts. Tom, Vince B had a little input.
He did.
Tom's gonna read it.
Yeah, it's a short one.
Oh my god. Oh, okay. It's for the special member of the group. You definitely need
Stop it,
to talk. You definitely need to touch upon the work of Howard Cruz, especially Stuck Rubber Baby and Barefoots, if you only...
And Steve has Stuck Rubber Baby right here.
I brought it only to me. Joke about the roaches. Cruz had the balls to tackle the subject long before the subject became acceptable.
So, Steve, you brought Stuck Rubber Baby with you?
It's a great book. It really is. Because it's not so much... It's not so much about this gay man. It's really more about once, like we were talking earlier about the oppression of everybody. It's about this gay man's life, but it's set in the South during the civil rights movement. I was gonna say Civil War, but
Civil War.
Wow, so that
I got the papers. Wow. Oh my lord,
the papers.
I think he's gay.
I'll think about that tomorrow. But yeah, it's a fantastic book, and it really is something.
Wow, it looks great.
And that's sort of. Autobiographical,
mm-hmm.
Isn't it? Howard Cruz grew up in
yeah,
Alabama.
Yeah, he said it was semi-autobiographical when he wrote it,
but not in the Civil War.
And it's you're not gonna don't freak out, Sal, because it's not a bunch of men kissing each other, and there's not a lot of penis in there.
Why?
There's not a lot of penis.
Why?
You've been tabbed as
why
the
are you
homophobe.
On me?
I'm gonna move to Chris later. Don't worry. I'm gonna spread the love.
I haven't read this, but I have heard that if it wasn't you know. If it wasn't for the content, or not the content, but if it wasn't for the
if it wasn't
the subject,
for the story, it would be good.
Yeah, it would be good. Yeah,
<I don't know. laughs> If it wasn't for the story.
The art's real nice.
Yeah. Couldn't they have just made him straight?
No, I mean, it's probably a book that should get more critical acclaim or just more prominence.
It did. When it first came out, it actually did get quite a good buzz put to it, but for some reason it sort of fell off to the wayside.
I know I've heard of it. But other than that, I can't.
Well,
know.
I mean, it's hard enough for any mainstream book to stay in the collective consciousness for very long. You get something that's a little bit, you know, it's like we talked about Black Hole from Charles Burns, a book that everyone should read, and, you know, it took him 10 years to put it out. But, this reminds me of Black Hole in the art a little bit and just kind of the subject matter a little bit. All right, next post is from Servo106. He says, then there was the entire Rawhide Kid thing. My only disappointment with that was the fact that, for some reason, Marvel felt that the book with a gay main character was reason enough to put it under the Max line, where if you read the book, there was absolutely no need for it.
Well, that was just their policy at the time,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason.
And he says, but I think the thing I want to see more of, and it seems like the big two are finally allowing gay heroes, I want to see more gay villains. I think that one besides Zombie North Star in Miller's Wolverine, so spoiler there.
Well, I think it does, I mean, and there were some later forum posts about this sort of subject, you know, like Marvel's policy at the time, until very recently, was any... gay character in its own book would have to be under the Max line.
Yeah, that's pretty well. Shooter, even going back a little bit before that, was
Shooter said, "I don't like the gays. Keep them out of my books."
This could be someone's first comic book, and I don't want them to read a gay character.
Not the gays. But here, let me write a story in the Incredible Hulk magazine about gays because they get raped at the YMCA. Which, well, but side note, really quick, I'm sorry I have to say this, but how fucking hilarious is it that at every straight wedding you go to, every wedding reception, they play the YMCA song, and you get those 80-year-old ladies up on the floor, and they're doing the whole, YMCA, it's crazy. I want to walk up to them and go, Grandma, do you know what they're talking about? What men are doing at the YMCA?
I don't know.
I'm getting married in December, and I go to the Y.
Yeah, you go to the Y all the time.
You can hang out with all the boys. I hear it's fun.
Anyway, why am I the only one taking this topic seriously?
No, but Rawhide Kid, interesting character to talk about because, yeah, it was put into Max series because he was the headline character in his own book and he was gay, therefore it had to be a Max title.
Right.
And then they've since gone back
and
kind of retconned.
They basically said, no, that's not their policy any longer. Yeah. Although we haven't really seen
it. But then they've changed Rawhide Kid. Again.
Yeah, well, they did that before they changed the policy.
Well, they changed and then they changed him back,
yeah.
Apparently. There's been... like
that
I thought,
guy goes in and out of the closet more than a bad sweater.
Certainly does.
Crisis of Infinite Closets.
Been holding on to that joke for
yeah,
a
I've been thinking about that
you
one.
Working on that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, it's pretty
he's
good.
Working
work
on that one all week.
I tell you...
I never got to my point.
Go to your point.
My point was... It brings up sort of... And something that I thought about after reading some other posts was... Should sexuality be if a character is going to be gay in a book, doesn't that automatically put it in the context of being a mature, a more mature book? Because otherwise, why would you ever know?
Can I answer this?
Okay.
Sure.
Please. Okay. From the store, Kyle.
If a character is revealed as gay in a book, I don't think it's any different than the fact that you see, you know, Green Arrow with his wife or whatever. You see, I'm trying to think, like Hawkman and Hawkgirl together. You see that they're living together. That's, you know, that they're together. I mean, we've seen Shiera and Carter post-coitus how many times in Hawkman? Nobody bats an eye. But if it was, we saw two guys, it would be a big deal. I think you can have a couple character just acknowledging that they live together and whatnot, not even have to go to the sexual stuff. And I don't think it would have to be a mature title. I think, like with North Star, you had him talking about being gay and fighting AIDS and all this crap in the 90s, but it, you know, it didn't have to be a mature title. It was still Alpha Flood. It was still all ages and all that, because there wasn't anything overtly sexual about it. I think that overall, comics are probably more sexual than they've ever been, and they're not necessarily more mature, or necessarily, the books aren't necessarily, like, I keep referencing Hawkman because it...
Because of Howard Chaykin. Look at those nipples on that girl.
Yeah.
For Christ's sake.
Yeah. Nobody bats an eye, not a mature title. I think that if there was anything sexual, it would have to be probably a mature title, but you can write a book where you have, like, Midnighter and Apollo, where you just know they live together, they wake up in the morning, have their coffee, and they go fight crime. Nothing sexual about this. So you can do it. It's just, I think, if people are more homophobic, they're going to automatically freeze up about it. But I think that the industry is doing a good job of not being so touchy about it. And I think Geoff Johns is probably going to rock it out with Justice Society, with Obsidian coming up.
Yeah, Kyle, I think you're right. I think that the publishers are starting to do a better job with it, definitely. And I can't wait for Obsidian to show up in Justice Society of America.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. I've been a fan of those characters since I was a kid. And so to see how he deals with them and to see them bring in that character, it's going to be fun.
All right.
Very good.
And just for the record, I knew that answer. And, you know, that's,
yeah, I knew that was the right answer.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not my personal view. I was just playing devil's advocate.
It's a Socratic method.
He burned a cross in my yard.
in the intro,
it's nothing,
you know,
personal.
You know, every week we have, you know, the intro, and Chris introduces me and Tom, and Tom does a much better job. I usually just say hello because I can never think of anything witty to say. And I was going to go, I'm going to get the obligatory, I have a gay friend out there, just, you know, to get that. No. Anyway.
Just one? Count.
Just one? Homophobe.
Well, my wife has a,
My wife knows gay people.
Yeah, oh, sure.
And Tom's friends are all gay except for one, so.
I have only one straight friend.
See?
Really?
Looks
I'm including all of you as I peer around the table.
All right. Next post from Chad B.
Formerly
Rudiger.
Rudiger.
Chad.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Bike Club stars a home. Oh, he didn't he post like.
He changed his name on the form.
He announced his name change. Bike Club stars a homosexual character, or at least a bisexual. There is a pretty explicit lesbian sequence in the latest volume. Rucka's Whiteout also depicted a lesbian relationship.
Is he just, like, listing things that maybe you should check out if you dig?
Yeah, well, Bike Club, you know.
It sounds like it, yeah.
It's
like,
yeah, speaking of Chaykin, that's a Howard Chaykin book, and it's talking about the title character in Bike Club. But it's lesbian, so it doesn't count.
She's
for
a vampire.
Yeah.
Lesbian vampire. That is the straightest fucking thing. Come on. That is so straight. That is so straight.
You can't count that at all.
Lesbian vampires. You can't get anything more heterosexual than a lesbian vampire.
That's true. Look at The Hunger with Susan Sarandon.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, absolutely. Let me see. Okay, now for
Rucka's, though.
Oh wait,
can I
say something really quick?
Yeah, yeah. Carrie Stetka.
I want to address something that Prodigy also brought up. Another poster. He mentioned how there was. It seems to be the in thing now for the Outsiders, 52, Marvel, Team Up, Young Avengers, Manhunter, and etc. And this is what I have to say. I think I've already mentioned it. Outsiders, anything written by Jed Winnick doesn't count. 52, marketing ploy. Marvel Team Up, cannon fodder. Not good. Not good. Young Manhunter, Obsidian, about fucking time. And Young Avengers, the only decent portrayal of male homosexuals in comic books at this point.
And teenagers.
In mainstream, I should add.
As teenagers.
As teenagers, right. Mm-hmm. And there, he's doing it the perfect way as well. There's in one panel, you see an arm around the other one, like the Hulkling Web's arm around the around.
Yeah, but isn't Hulkling actually transgender?
Essentially, he is.
Scroll,
yeah, he's a Skrull.
Or,
yeah, so according to Wikipedia, he is transgender.
He chooses to be male.
He does, yeah.
He identifies as male.
Well, I think this was one of our more interesting voicemails from the hotline. This
hotline
from Cicero Joe.
Go!
Cicero Joe.
Joe and Cicero, go!
Hey, guys, this is Joe from Cicero. I just wanted to touch base with you, telling you how much I like your podcast. It's real great, although I'm a little concerned about this week's episode, talking about Almost. You know, I'm not
Thanks,
down
Joe.
With that. You know, I like my heroes straight, be it, you know, and then I don't want to hear any of these vague nonsense, you know, for bringing in the Robin character and, you know, that some sort of homosexual dream from back in that book in the 50s.
Yeah,
because
pixie books
none of that.
Aren't gay at all.
Yeah. Kenny Marjoram is brought in to be the offensive coordinator for the Bears. I think they can go all the way this year. I'll hang up and listen to my answer.
Hey. Well, thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Joe from
Cicero.
I'm hoping that was a very, you know...
I think it was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, tongue-in-cheek voicemail. I don't know who Joe
no
is.
No pun intended.
No, I think that's a lot of people's opinions out there. Is like, you know, it's I use comics to escape from the real world, and I want my superhero straight.
Then perhaps maybe you should do something about your real life. If you can't handle it and you have to go to comic books to escape.
Well, I think there will always be.
Of course, that's what I do. So what am I talking about?
What are you trying to say, man?
I live in a community made up of completely out of gay people. So I go to comics to get a
straightness.
Straightness.
To get my straight.
Well, I
get for living right above the manhole. I mean,
the
come on.
Steamworks. Yeah.
Going to tease afterwards.
Scares me.
The Batman character? That one always comes up. Everybody,
Oh, there's... I think that comes from the whole Wortham seduction of the innocents.
Yes, definitely.
And that fucking whack job that he was.
I mean, the only...
He was molesting kids. Come on.
The only issue I have with it is, you know, that... Then you have to think, you know, Bob Kane initially, you know, wrote that character on some level thinking, you know... Trying to portray him as a gay character. I don't know if I buy
that character. That character has been written by so many writers for, 1938 to now.
If you boil it down, any guy that runs around in tights, you know, that's going to be questionable, right?
And has a teenage sidekick.
And wears his underwear on the outside. Because, Christ, all of us fags wear our underwear on the outside.
You should see.
By the way,
you
like
see how he's dressed.
Right now.
You should see how he's dressed. It's outrageous. So many scarves.
Hello Kitty. Wow, I never would.
And pixie boots.
Well, let's move on to our next one. The aforementioned Prodigy One, who actually had some really good posts
he
this
did.
Week. He goes, as a parent who likes to involve my kids in the comic book hobby, I have a real problem with homosexuality in comics. It seems to pop up in so many comics that are supposed to be all ages, like Marvel Team-Up and Young Avengers. And then David Price... came back a couple posts later and posted the covers to those Marvel team-ups and showed that they were actually teen plus
right.
on the rating. So they weren't, quote-unquote, all ages. And then in a later post, Prodigy writes, we don't believe in letting our kids watch or read something that we don't know about ourselves. Now, we're not trying to hide homosexuality from our kids because we know it is a reality, but we rather have the discussion with them about it, and we do. As a 33-year-old comic fan who has been a comic reader from the 80s to now, I do seem to notice an upswing in the amount of gay characters in comics. It seems to be the end thing now, and you had read part of that post. But I think what Prodigy is saying is that, you know, he doesn't want comics to educate his children about homosexuality. He would rather do that. He's not homophobic or anti, you know, homosexuality, but he wants to have the chance to tell his kids about it. And I
don't really think he will.
Yeah.
Let me put it to you this way. There's been a couple other posts, not only on your forum, but also my partner Eric. Well, not really my partner.
Whoa! Big announcement, guys.
My co-host, I should say.
You have chemistry.
Why? Thank you. We smoke a lot before we record. no, we don't. He's a big Doctor Who and sci-fi geek as well as I am, and so he went to the SFX forum, which is the British sci-fi magazine, and he wanted to get our podcast to those wonderful British people, and so he went on there and posted something there and pointing them in the direction of our podcast. But the thing about it was, as I'm going through reading the posts, not only on the SFX board but also on some of your board as well, there are a lot of people that say that they have no problem with the homosexuality. They just don't want to be beaten over the head with it, or they don't want it, you know, put in their face. Mm-hmm. And what makes me laugh about that is, you know, no offense, Prodigy. I respect the way you want to raise your kids, and I think you should raise them the way that you believe is right and true. But walk outside your door, and the minute you walk outside, there are gay people there. They're all around you. And having two gay characters, especially in the comic book Young Avengers, who act the way that they do, it does nothing but reinforce healthy relationships. And I think that that's something you need to show your children, is that these are healthy relationships. Obviously, I don't want you picking up a copy of Sticky, which, by the way, is a... Oh, no, you don't have that here, do you? It's a pornographic comic book. And when I first read the book, I interviewed, you know, the author of that book. And when I first read it, I thought to myself, well, this is porn. Who gives a shit? We have this. Why do we need this? I want something substantial. And when Dale came in and we interviewed him, he actually was very... can't think of the word I'm looking for. I hope you use editing here.
Smart,
intelligent. That's the stuff that I'm
smart.
Not.
Smart. Yeah.
Smart.
We have vocabulary.
He is a... Obviously, because that was the first episode of
he's a writer.
Show that I listened. Yeah, he's a writer. It has nothing to do with the you know, subject matter that he chooses to write with. Doesn't classify him as anything other than a writer. It's obvious when you listen to the man talk and talk about his stories that... this is just the, you know, the story that he's trying to tell.
Right. And I guess my point really just comes down to you can't hide your kids from it. You know, it's going to happen at some point. And in fact, your kids are probably going to be more exposed to it as they get older than you ever were.
Yeah. I don't want to get on an attack of Prodigy too much, because I think
he's a good poster, well, and well thought out.
And I understand. There were some other posts in there that he sort of, I think he had a hard time explaining maybe what he feels about it. And as a father myself, I understand to some degree. I think what he's trying to say is that I don't want to expose my kids to any sexuality,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily a relationship. Well, no, I don't want it in a comic book. Right. I mean, it all depends on the age and the child. I mean, obviously, you know, some kids are you know, able to handle things better, or, you know, sure. It depends on how you raise your kid. And there's a lot of factors involved into it. But in something like a comic book, you know, depending on the age of a kid, I don't necessarily want them exposed to sex. Not necessarily a relationship, or, you know.
You kind of took the words out of my mouth there. I was going to say that it's going to be difficult, period, to shield your kids from sex. I think not just because of our sort of hyper telecommunication culture, but just because, you know, this is how it is.
I mean, we're very sexual.
On a playground in grade school, you know, I knew so many different things. It didn't really register with me. I just knew that it was sex, and it was sort of, you know, off limits. And that, so I completely respect Prodigy's desire. He's being a good parent. He wants to guide his children. He wants to be able to explain to his kids these things that are out there, but he's going to have a hard time, and I don't think that he's kind of classifying homosexuality. I kind of feel like he's putting that off to the side. Granted, he does not
Sure.
want his kids to be exposed to sexuality, but I think just it's going to be kind of hard.
Right. Absolutely is. I mean, I think... you know,
it's hard to shield kids from anything.
From right. anything, yeah, certainly. You know. Yeah, that gets and into sex is so much more prevalent today that, than
yeah,
than
but
ever.
That gets into a whole other conversation of our comics for kids, which, you know, some are, some
we'll
aren't.
Do that a different week.
We're that's coming up on a upcoming show, but and you had said we're a very sexual culture, and Sal and I talked about this week, and I I don't think that we are compared to a lot of the rest of the world. It's, violence is much more accepted than
exactly.
sex.
Right, exactly. But the irony of it comes from how do we sell things in this country? We use sex. Any beer commercial, any commercial you see on TV, they're using sex to sell that.
Furniture.
Toothpaste.
Well,
furniture.
But you're
no, they're using sexuality, not sex.
See, that's sort of it's like it's easy for me to and there was a post about it. You know, why do we accept violence so much more readily than sex in media? And my thought on it, and I started to think about it because I'm like, well, my personal opinion is, I would easily accept my kids watching a violent cartoon as opposed to a sexual cartoon.
Sure. I would hope so.
I wanted to think about it. I'm like, why do I feel that way? Right. Why is it that I feel that way? Why am I more able to accept,
Well, sex isn't for kids. Sex is okay
and
for adults.
And that's the whole point, is that...
Regardless of what
right.
sex
regardless
is,
of,
not
so,
for kids.
Well, but, not necessarily... Yeah. Not a relationship. I mean, two people, that caring for... I don't think there's a problem with that, regardless
where
of whether
it's...
Where
they show the special hug.
Well, there is that. But I think it's just... To me, it's a loss of innocence. At some point, every kid is going to learn about sex, and as a parent, I think it's just your job to try and...
But it's up to you to filter how those children are learning, and they're going to learn from every
Absolutely.
Outlet and every media outlet that they come across. They're going to learn from comic books. I learned about I learned a little bit about physics from comic books when I was younger. Had I had a good physics teacher who could filter that information for me, then I would actually understand it better than I do now. But it's the same thing with violence, with sexuality. They're going to come across that, whatever medium that they're looking at, mm-hmm. but it's up to you as a parent to filter that and to explain to them what's wrong and what's right with it.
Sure.
Obviously, you're not going to have your kids go out and watch the movie Cruising with Al Pacino, where he plays this gay serial killer, and then have them say, oh, yeah, that's how the gays do it. That's not gonna happen. You're gonna say, okay, that's an extremely violent movie that perhaps maybe you shouldn't watch. And if you do watch it, let's talk about it afterwards. Mm. Because
follow
I,
that
I,
up with the Mexican.
With the Mexican?
Yeah.
Or a Mexican?
No, the Mexican.
I know
James
a
Gandolfini.
Here's here's
a
Mexican.
No, I haven't seen the Mexican.
No, Brad Pitt, James Gandolfini. James Gandolfini plays.
Absolutely
play,
no Mexicans in the movie.
Yeah, yeah,
really?
Yeah, none. He plays a gay hitman.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, that's not the Mexican, is it?
Yeah.
That's a different movie that he's a gay hitman. That's True Romance.
No.
He's not gay in True
no.
Romance.
No, not in True
but
Romance.
He's a hitman, but he's not gay. He could be gay and it just never came up
or
it got edited out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
You're listening to Around Comics. You can even listen naked and no one would ever know. But seriously, I wouldn't go around telling people about that because it's pretty freaking weird.
David writes,
I
have absolutely no qualms whatsoever with homosexuality in comic books. Sure, sometimes it might be used to boost sales or as a gimmick. Awful flight. But when characters are portrayed as real as people get in a comic book, it creates a more realistic world. I know a lot of gay men and women. I have gay relatives. Reading about a character that's gay in comic
My
book
dog's gay.
Doesn't faze me. My dog's gay. My house might be gay. I don't know.
And then, and I agree with David. And then Rom Lives, my favorite screen name on the forum, says, I don't think that we should glorify homosexuality or race or religion, for that matter, unless it fits within the context of the story. I believe impure equality doesn't exist. And segregation or exploitation of any kind is pure bull.
Shit.
Nothing makes me more angry than to be reading a good story and then all of a sudden... here's a blatant pro whatever ad shoved in.
Pro
it's,
car.
It's product placement
what
and it
ad?
Sucks. If a character is gay, black, Chinese, or atheist or whatever, make it part of the story and we don't wave obnoxious or obvious banners in my face. I agree. Make it a seamless part of the story. Make it immersive into that environment. And I don't think that straight people or gay people want a token gay character in every comic book.
I don't think
no.
But I don't think gay characters own the monopoly on shitty characters in comic books.
Oh God,
no. Yeah, I mean that's not the only example in comic books.
It's a bad ratio, but it's not a monopoly.
You get there's plenty of horrible characters of all types that are whatever agenda people want to throw in your face.
Sure.
So it's not,
It's not just that, like, oh,
it's female characters.
Yeah,
it's
female.
Black characters. It's, I mean.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about.
Anyone the, other than, you know.
I was thinking about
you.
This today. We, if podcast existed 40 years ago, we could be having the same topic, but replace homosexuality with blacks.
Or interracial marriage.
Or, yeah, any minority.
We could have had that discussion, you know, like 15 years ago.
Yeah, probably. Unfortunately,
in the,
yeah.
Marry the Irish.
Yeah.
There was Irish Lightning. It'll not many people out. Know about that character.
Next
Irish
post?
Lightning?
Yeah. So you
my
knew.
My grandmother used to make that.
Was he green?
You used to have to denote all the characters as Irish, like Irish Lightning or Irish Goliath.
Irish Goliath. Nice. Yes. Yes, definitely.
Irish Flash.
Irish Green Lantern.
No, but I think it makes a good point. Is that, you know, it's like I just want good stories. I don't care.
I agree.
What right. the characters are, or who they
the
are.
Kelly
if
Green
you tell
Lightning
a good story,
the,
I'll you know.
Kelly Green
you know, I do have to say
that sucks. It's a horrible joke.
I have to say though, the one thing I do have one problem with Rom Lives' post, and I love the name too, by the way. It just the fact that he used the word glorify. From what I understand, from what I want, and from what it sounds like you guys want, we don't want a glorification of homosexual. I don't want the big gay character to come out and be like, I'm queer, I'm here, I'm going to save everybody, it's fantastic.
That would actually be really funny.
Well, for you.
Big old straight character.
It'd be like 16 steps back for me.
Yeah.
Oh, but
hello.
Yeah, I don't, that's just the terminology of glorification. I don't want people to think that that's what the gay community is after, because we're really not. And yes, I've already talked to my entire listening audience and told them that I am talking for the entire gay community tonight. So,
well, thank goodness, because we don't want to run into that issue.
We don't have to want to talk to
we've got Kyle here for backup.
Very good.
I think you can sum up how, I mean, at least as a gay guy, how I would like to see gay characters written. There's a scene in Infinite Crisis where they're all at the church, and you've got Mr. Terrific talking to somebody else, and Mr. Terrific says, you know, I'm an atheist. It's like, oh, really? I thought you were like the smartest man on earth, and they're just kind of ribbing each other. And that was it. That's how gayness needs to be, I think. It happens to be.
But doesn't that, I mean...
Like, I thought it was cool as an atheist.
I mean, doesn't that open the door for, like...
I thought it was cool, say that, but then we didn't have to watch Mr. Terrific go to his atheist meetings or go give believers a hard time.
Or then a thought bubble about, like, I am
but
such an atheist.
I would kind of
like
this, because it's very subtle. It's a part
but
of...
That, you got to see him go into Checkmate and have an interracial relationship with Sacha Bordeaux. Yeah.
But doesn't it open? But
does
doesn't
black
it,
and silver go together?
But doesn't it open the door for people complaining that it's a token character, or you know,
no,
or,
I don't,
or it's handled
way,
with certain amount of?
They've written
know,
that character so well about why you understand why he's an atheist.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
you know,
exactly. Yeah, okay. I was talking more specifically about. But if you've never read anything before that book.
Yeah, but you could say that about any character that's anyway.
Fundamentally, though,
that's what I'm saying. It's such a thin line to walk one way or the other, because
comes down to good writing. Jeff Johns is a good writer. He can write any character with different facets of their being, and none of it will come off as he's beating you over the head with it. Other writers that are kind of shitty, like whoever wrote, and I don't mean to rip on Scott Lobdell, but the way he wrote Alpha Flight 106 when he brought out North Star, it was very heavy-handed.
Very.
And it really didn't serve the purpose of, we just want to fold ourselves into the larger community of people and just be left the fuck alone. No, it has to be, oh, and I'm going to adopt an AIDS baby, and I'm such a martyr, and my life sucks as I'm
that
gay.
That AIDS baby pissed some people off.
Little deja vu going on here now.
But nowadays, you've got characters that we just know are gay, and that's it. So it's gotten better.
But it was also a different era, and it was...
Comes back to good
it was
writer.
The first, you know, it was a first experiment at something that obviously wasn't done very well, but...
Get yourself an AIDS.
Nobody
baby.
Had done it, you know, before that. So how do you
kind
know?
Kind of like
how
Black
to, you
Lightning
know?
When they first did that. It was very tokenish. But now, I mean, the character's awesome. So I guess maybe it's just a matter of time.
I think it is a matter of
good writers as well.
It
sure.
is. It is.
All right. Well, sweet.
Well, let's move on to the next
one. Oh,
next one.
We solved the problem.
That's it.
We're done.
All right. So guys,
let's grab a beer.
Situation over.
From Ken Small, lately we've seen Obsidian revealed as gay in Manhunter. Considering that character's history, I think he was probably considered pretty disposable by the editors. Here's hoping he doesn't get martyred for some cause. I don't know, Jeff, what are you going to do? Justice Society's coming up. Love and Rockets, yes! What started off as something of a titillation grew in depth, along with the characters as the authors got more meaningful with their work. And Stuck Rubber Baby, absolutely. Howard Cruise comics are good stuff. His story, Jerry Mack, is also quite good. Okay. Never read Jerry Mack, but think I'll pick it up now.
And Sal, you want to handle Mike's post? This is sure. Michael Avery, the writer of Werewolves Call of the Wild. Issue 3 hit newsstands on Wednesday. Pick
yes,
it up.
Yes, it did. Mike said, to take an analogy from television, remember Ellen? I and many others tuned in and watched the episode when Ellen came out of the closet, largely to see what the hubbub was about. A couple of episodes later, we remembered why we never watched the show before, because it's not funny. That's not really the case, because I watched it before, and it was really funny.
It was funny.
But then it became all about her being gay,
everything
and it was no
was,
longer
yeah,
funny.
Everything was lesbian, lesbian, lesbian.
Yeah, and but anyway, show gets canceled, Ellen bitches people don't watch, because she's gay. Several years later, you get Will and Grace, ta-da, it lasts several seasons, and wins awards and shit.
That's Mike.
Not because it's about gay people trying to be funny, but because it's about funny people that happen to be gay.
Yep.
I think part of the problem is when the companies feel pressured to add a gay character, or any minority for that matter, to a title. Why are they going to give a shit about a character or a title they feel obligated to produce as a PR move? What's going to be a better pitch? One including a gay character a creator feels passionate about, or one including a gay character they were hired to write about? If a character hasn't been seen in years, why should making them gay be the big fix?
Mike had one of the best posts on the forum this week, and that is way edited down.
Yeah.
That's paraphrasing his post.
And you know, that, I mean, it a lot of times you do, you know, or most of the time it's characters that are secondary or minor characters that, you know, maybe no one gives a shit about to begin with, and then I don't know if it's, I mean, if you think of it from a publisher standpoint, it's like, what are they going to do? Are they going to take, you know, Spider-Man and suddenly announce that he's gay? You know, people
if
would
only
lose their fucking minds. I mean,
it's going to
lose minds when he unmasks. I mean,
right? Let alone spoiler. Imagine
it would get fixed by the time the movie comes around.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
But
I don't think they'll ever do that with a quote unquote iconic character. I think it's going to have to be.
Oh, I think maybe some. I think maybe someday.
Not an icon. No, not
second
the not
tier characters.
No,
the first tier.
Not the lunchbox and backpack gang. No way.
No, I don't.
I don't know.
If you don't know, it would be completely inconsistent with the character.
Yeah.
I think with the second and third tier characters, they're not as fleshed out. And I think with Obsidian, nobody would have ever thought about that.
Well, it was
an opportunity to use it.
That's why people talk about Batman, because of the iconic characters, Batman's really the only one that's never had a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's
well, that's not true. He's never had a long relationship, but he's had relationships.
With who?
I don't know.
Vicky Vale.
Catwoman.
Okay. Talia.
Selena Kyle.
Did she ever move into the mansion? No, it wasn't a relationship.
Wow. Ooh. Whoa. Wait.
There's a mini series.
Together as a relationship?
You can never
moving in together as a relationship.
Wow.
We're going to talk about this.
Vicky Vale, get up to the
well,
mansion.
It's
did
some
she
sort
leave
of
any? Did she leave tampons?
I've never had a relationship.
At the Batman.
This one is from Dan C., who we'll actually hear from a little bit later in the show. It was, I would like to call the Ellis Britton Midnighter Apollo a great couple. The Miller and Morrison Midnighter Apollo were the polar opposites, holding little of the honesty and character that Ellis's writing had. I ultimately liked Miller's run, but the tone shift in their relationship, along with the slightly over-the-top sexual appetites of the other characters, just wasn't as successful as what Ellis was doing. So I think we had talked about that a little bit earlier, that Ellis really had the truest vision of what he, you know.
And I think, I think Brubaker did a good job with it later on. If for people that maybe hadn't read that mm-hmm. run.
And next one from
Adamers? Adamers? I don't know. I noticed no one has talked about a book that I think really benefits from a homosexual character. That book is Why the Last Man. I find it interesting in a story about the last man on Earth. One of the main side characters is homosexual. That adds a nice twist and really helps move the story. Yeah.
Dr. Mann's great.
Didn't we already say lesbians don't count? No, I'm kidding.
Actually, if there's no men on the planet, I guess.
That was, you know, that was actually my thought after reading that post. I thought to myself, well, let's think about the world that Yorick is living in. And wouldn't it kind of be, since women are more emotional than men, quote unquote, anyway, that wouldn't it just kind of be an evolutionary step that they would wind up accepting emotional
connections with
other
women.
With each other.
Yeah.
I think that just makes sense.
Any port in a storm is what you're talking about.
Kinda, yeah.
I'm not touching that.
I don't
one.
Know.
Any port
But what I'm saying is, I mean, seriously, stop thinking about it. A world
sending the physical sex.
I think what you're talking about is basically being able to transcend physical sex and being able to just connect with somebody like that.
Exactly. Right? And I think that we would accept that more from the idea of a world of women.
Sure.
Because I think if it was a world of men, yeah, well, you know, holy shit, there'd be some wars going on. People would be dying.
Well, but
fast.
It goes back to what you were saying earlier tonight.
What
about,
the hell was I saying?
I don't. Well, you were talking about how if people would just forget about what gay characters do out, you know, in the bedroom,
right,
and just think of them as people, you know, it's a lot easier.
It makes more sense.
It makes more sense. I mean, because what percentage of anyone's life is what they do in the bedroom? I mean,
I want to comment on what you just said. You're talking about how, you know, if we could just, you know, focus on just who they are, not what they do. I think that is an absolute confession of what the straight audience who buys comics or whatever it is preoccupied about. I think that if they just did that, none of this would be an issue. You know, when I read Justice and I know that, you know, Green Arrow and Black Canary are shacking up together, I'm not thinking about them shagging. I just know that they're together. And I think it's something that the straight readership or the straight audience, whatever it is, has to do some work internally, I think, and just realize that, you know what, Apollo and Midnighter, they're just together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all there is to it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that I think goes back to good writing too.
Right.
If it's written well, that's what you will think about. If it's written poorly, you know, I guess it leads you to
exploitation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Exploitation.
And what did our good buddy Pat Wojcicki have to say?
Pat Wojcicki had this to say: I see nothing wrong with homosexuality in comics. I think it's great if handled properly. I hate it when they just dump a character in a book and label him gay for the sake of having a gay character in there and starting controversy. Batwoman, I'm looking at you.
And he can't take his eyes off.
But once
again, we're all looking at Batwoman.
And you didn't post the one thread that the guy, I can't remember who it was, that posted about how that whole thing with Batwoman has sort of been taken out of context.
That was David D. He's got another post here, but yeah, go ahead and talk about how the media ran with it.
Well, it was, you know, Dan DiDio had, you know, was talking to a reporter about all those characters, Blue Beetle and the all-new Atom and Batwoman, and that reporter ran with one story out of all those stories and added the phrase lipstick lesbian, and that's how it just...
And boom, headlines.
Yeah, and it became this huge, you know, media... Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you look at it, and he had posted a really interesting fact, was that was announced on, like, the 20th of the month, where you had 2 days to order that comic if DC was trying to have this media blitz about that character in that book, you know, it seems like it was pretty poorly designed to do that. Now, did they accept all the media attention and all, you know, that they got from all the press? Sure, absolutely. And, you know, why wouldn't they? But I don't know that they intentionally were trying to, you know, make a big I don't know. At least not as much as maybe, you know, the media has,
like,
and all the fans have sort of, you know, gotten, well, they're just trying to, you know.
Like, you would have a non-lipstick lesbian in a comic book.
Thank
I mean,
you.
Come on.
Really?
Like, does he really need the lipstick part of the lesbian in a comic book?
Yeah, well, that's a whole other show. Yeah.
He's going to pay for a Butch Dyke comic. Come on.
Bull Dyke Batwoman show.
Well, that was David D. who had posted a lot of that. Now, I'm going to go through one of his posts, and it's way edited down, but I thought this is kind of the crux of it. It says, I'm finding that comics' inclusion of more and different kinds of people is only making the fictional world of these characters more like my own. The result is a more immersive, more satisfying, and more mature read. And I think that says it.
Certainly. I really appreciate David for saying that too. I thought that was the smartest comment that I heard for a while.
David D is a smart young man.
Uh-oh.
It'll all go to his head.
And John Sokol.
He said,
go ahead.
In mainstream comics, it seems as though a character's sexual preference is often bolted onto them for now apparent reasons. I like sexuality as part of the story if it is truly part of the story. Too often, the character's sexuality is presented to get a reaction, not as an organic part of the character. This applies to the character's sexual preference, how active they are, whether they are in a relationship, etc. Good storytelling is good storytelling, and it includes those elements that make the story richest and most powerful, and I am all for that.
We have some smart listeners out there.
Yes,
smarter than us. Yeah. Smarter than me. That's
doesn't take a while.
We're all our stupid listeners. All our stupid listeners can't figure out how to register.
And they all feel bad right now, don't they?
And, I don't know how to register.
We got one more here from Corky Knievel.
Corky Knievel.
Corky.
I don't have that on my...
I'm surprised he's this articulate. Most of the time I hear people express they have no problem with gay characters. They usually put some sort of parameters on it, like, gay characters are fine as long as I don't have to see it, hear it, read it, yada yada, or smell it. He didn't really say smell it. It's really a way of saying I'm not comfortable with seeing homosexuality, which I think is a natural thing for heterosexuals, especially men, to have to try and get comfortable with. And that's very true. That's something that I think that our male society needs to kind of break the stereotype of and just accept the fact.
We don't all want you.
Amen.
Really
what?
Fat and ugly.
Oh, fuck. I read the guy who played Nick on Family Ties, apparently he's gay. I know this might
really?
Come back a few years for you.
Justine Bateman's boyfriend?
Yeah. Wow. And he.
What about Boner?
I think the name alone says. But apparently he was interviewed by The Advocate, and he had made a comment about how straight men, they're all scared that all gay men want to sleep with them. And his reaction to that was, honey, don't flatter yourself.
Oh, yeah. And it's always the really fat, unattractive, sweaty guys that always think the fags want them. It's like, you know what? Dude, my dick is shriveling like a stack of dimes over here. You are the last asshole I would want to, you know.
Fat, sweaty guys, call me. I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, it's
just fat, not sweaty.
The podcast is gone there.
I think, you know, the problems in this small little niche of comic, you know, gay characters in comic books is a reflection of our societies to some degree. And,
sure.
And it's just a matter of, you know, the majority of the people in this country or in this society aren't gay. And that a lot of them have a problem with it. Well, you know, whether they will admit it or whether they want to or whether it matters. I think it's just a reflection of that to some degree, and it's a...
It's our puritanical background, the way,
yeah.
The way that this country was founded, the Judeo-Christian, you know, ideologies that we have, that we were raised with. And you're absolutely right. People just need to get past that boundary and realize, once again, gay people are people first.
The thing that
I'm
scares
not.
Well, no, you are.
And
robot.
The thing, the don't thing. Let your sexual orientation define who you are as
right.
a person.
It's
exactly.
One part. It's a neutral characteristic like your eye color or your skin color. You know, I would much rather somebody get to know me as Kyle before they get to know the gay guy, because then it colors everything. They
sure.
assume they know everything about me, and they don't. If they get
right.
to know me first, and then they find out, he's got a boyfriend, then it's a completely different set of a variable.
Well, and to be fair, there are a lot of people in the gay community that let their sexual orientation define them.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely true. No,
that is true.
True. You know, there's people that do that, and I think that you have to... I think if you're a person of substance, I think you'll let who you are, your personality, your mind shine through. And if you don't really have a whole lot going for you, you're going to go with whatever else. It's kind of like I liken it to really attractive women who have no brains at all. They lead with their tits. It's all about looks, and they kind of coast on that versus developing a mind, developing a personality. And no, absolutely, there are gay men, you know, gay women that do that. But again, it's no different than the hyper-masculine straight guy who's just all about his sports
thing.
And his beer
mm-hmm.
guzzling.
Same thing.
Same thing. You've got
Whoa.
Individuals.
That's me. Yeah. How about
you're not making me friends, buddy.
Backers 4-4
here,
this weekend, guys.
I tell you, what's lighting
okay.
things up a little bit? This is this was sent in from Steven from Just Another Fanboy.
Hey, guys. This is Steven from the boards. I've been thinking about this week's topic, homosexuality in comics. And, I spent a lot of time sitting around thinking about this. It's been a real head-scratcher. And I think I've come up with basically one line that really states what I want to say about the subject. And basically, it's just gay, straight, it don't matter to me. Kiss is still yucky. Thank you.
Kissing is still yucky.
Well, okay.
I think
not if you're doing
sad.
It right.
A good
yeah.
I think a good way to and we could, you know, like every topic that we bring up, we could talk about this for hours and hours and hours. But I think this is a great way to wrap up the topic and a perfect look about how a creator should approach writing a gay character. And I think a perfect example of how a gay character should be or can be presented in a comic book.
Is it Joe's voicemail again?
No, it's not.
This
not
is Andy Parks, writer of Capote in Kansas, inker for Irredeemable Ant-Man, and one of our favorite creators. Andy said, I'm getting in on this way late, but I am very proud of something I did while writing Capote in Kansas. I never asked myself how a gay person would act in a given situation. I asked myself how Truman would act, setting his sexuality aside except for those times when I needed to consider what impact it would have on those around him. I sincerely hope that Truman's sexuality doesn't stand out in the book any more than Truman's other traits. It's just a part of what he is. His sexual interests are no more or less important because he sleeps with other men. In fact, I had a problem with the film Capote because it seemed conspicuously frightened about addressing Truman's sexuality. They had no problem sensationalizing the violence in the story, but Truman does not so much as hold another man's hand in the film. I felt a little fraudulent to me. And as a big fan of his book, you know, Capote in Kansas, I thought that he really walked that line well because it was present, but it wasn't something that took over the story, which it shouldn't have because it's not about. That's not a story about gay Truman Capote. It's a story about Capote.
It's about Capote in Kansas.
Right.
That book is what its title is. It's about Capote in Kansas, and that is a part of Truman Capote's time in Kansas, and then before and afterwards. And Andy did an amazing job of presenting that, and that's one of the reasons why that's such a compelling graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
So. I hadn't even heard of that book before.
Hear about it, buy it,
read
buy
it, love it,
sleep with it.
Buy two copies and give one to a friend because it's that
buy
good.
Buy two copies it's and keep both of them.
Good.
Yeah.
It's
historical fiction about the time that he spent in Kansas researching in cold blood. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's extremely good.
And Chris Samnee art. So Chris Samnee.
Samnee.
Sorry, Chris. Samnee.
How could you do that to Chris?
Three Miller High Lifes. all right, well, guys, do we want to go through final thoughts, or do you feel like we've covered the topic?
I have one final thought.
Oh, Christ.
wow. I haven't presented myself very well tonight, I don't think.
It's been great.
You know, I'm a relatively open-minded person, but not in all things. And I think, you know, growing up, you know, obviously as a heterosexual male white guy in the suburbs, homosexuality was to me as a kid something that you joked about more than anything else. As I've gotten older, it's obviously, you know, become something that is just part of life. It's just part of the people in the world around me. So it's I've felt like I've grown. But it wasn't like it was a stretch. It wasn't something difficult for me as a person to do. It wasn't something I intentionally went out of my way to try and accept. It just is. What scares me so much is that this, you know, we're talking about comic books and the level of how people will not accept this subject matter in comics. If that's the case, how people feel about a fictional work of, you know, characters that don't exist, what does that say about how people will accept in real life?
But I'll counter that. We threw this topic out there, and it's one that we've talked about for a little while, and actually Steve and the Comic Book Queers podcast kind of gave us some inspiration to do this, so thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
We put the topic up, and it's like, man, what is the reaction going to be? But look at the reaction on our forum this week.
Well, certainly, and I think
it's because you guys have very intelligent listeners. I mean, honestly, that's...
Yeah, put the same thing up on Newsarama.
Yeah,
exactly. And see what you're going to get.
I think a lot of times it's certainly corporations that look at it with even, you know, a more closed-minded attitude than their actual people. Yeah, well, I think they look at it with more fear of what people will think, and they don't give their customers any credit.
Right. Agreed.
You know what I mean? They don't give people credit. It's like we don't give children the credit that they can accept more than they can. You know, we have to shelter them, which goes back to a lot of what we talked about. We have to, you know, hide them from everything because we don't think that they can accept it. I think that breeds sort of the attitude of, well, it, the, you know, they're just not ready for it.
Well, I think in our culture and in this medium, I think we're in very much in the beginning stages of not just homosexuality, but sexuality in general as being accepted to be talked about. It's still very taboo. And you know, I go back to what I said earlier about, you know, racism and putting, you know, different ethnic groups. It's, if you step back 15, 20, 30 years ago, you know, that I think was very taboo. So I think we're still in kind of the beginning stages of this. And I see comic books like Young Avengers and Why the Last Man and Ex Machina as being kind of the second stage of acceptance for homosexuality in comics, because they're being approached in ways that they haven't been approached before. And in a mature and
couldn't have been.
And yeah, in a right. very grown up way. And it makes for good stories if it's written well, and the writers in comics right now
are good. I mean, that's
what
it comes down to. If it's good stories, that's all that matters. That's all that should matter.
Yeah. All right. Guys, great topic. It's one that
I still don't see lipstick lesbians.
The trade is staring me here in the face here in the shop. We never even talked about about Montoya. What great story! And it's great that we have so many options of characters that we could have talked about and didn't.
And that journey that character Renee Montoya has taken from starting out on the animated series and moving into the comics and then becoming this iconic lesbian, I think that's fantastic. And next time you guys have this conversation, bring a dyke in. She'll tell you more about it.
They don't count, though.
They don't count.
Oh,
they don't
God.
Count. Did All right,
I,
guys.
I didn't say that, did I?
In comics.
In comics, they don't count.
Well, that'll do it for our topic today.
I gotta interrupt real quick because I need to say one thing. I'm a little hurt. I like you guys. I do. I like you guys a lot. And I really appreciate the fact that you've done the podcast nude for me today. But
what about the rainbow stuff we put up?
Yeah, that's fantastic. I really appreciate that too. And your comment about the rainbow in the jar there, Tom. But I think I forgot what I was going to say now. I was hurt because when I went to the website, and yes, I did. I signed Comic Book Queers up as a member of your forum so we could get on there and do some chatting. Not just me, but Katie and Eric as well. I was sad to see that we weren't listed.
I thought about that today. And
as a link.
You will be. But the only reason the funny thing was is like we posted.
Because you're really homophobic.
Well, there's
that. So, I mean.
But no, I
he sounds the only one that actually has been covering his penis this entire time. I don't understand it.
it's just out of
By
shame.
The time this episode airs, Comic Book Queers will be listed as a podcast.
Yes,
on
it
the
certainly
site.
Will. I was actually going to do it today, and the only reason I didn't is because you had never, Chris had never mentioned you. We didn't mention you at all that you were coming on the show in the forum or anything, so I didn't know.
You didn't want to tip your hand.
Well, I didn't want to.
We've got a real Mo coming in.
I don't know. They will be on there. Believe me. Because I
we like the show.
Yeah, very much.
Well, I appreciate that even more.
That's what implies that we don't like other shows.
Let's see. Should we listen to the Mo's or should we listen to the? I don't like those guys. Let's listen to the Mo's again. They're
You know, we actually never even gave you a chance to promote the show. Tell us about Comic Book Queers.
Comic Book Queers, it is what it is. It's a comic book podcast about comic books for the LGBT community by LGBT faggots like me. Well, we call ourselves queer because we feel like the word queer has been used demonstratively too long. And
you're
so we're
reclaiming
trying to reclaim
it. You're
yeah.
just bringing it back. We, you know, the only thing that drives me nuts about your show is I listen to it and I go, you know, it's not fair because you guys could talk about other guys in comics any way you want. And if I said that on this show about a woman, I would get so much hate mail. And I mean, you guys just say the nastiest things about.
Do we?
Oh, it's
no,
horrible.
Come on.
It's you objectify
it's like
men.
Natural. It's like a you, spring rain, man. You can't stop it.
Except like I agree with you about Dazzler. Definitely roller skate version.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Eric's going to get mad at you for that, but I tell you.
Oh, no. No. Absolutely.
I'm
roller
so
skate, disco diva.
Herald of Galactus.
All right, guys, let's wrap up the topic. topic for the day. Got a couple announcements that we need to get through. Sal, the hotline.
The hotline, 1-888-65-GCAST. Call us, leave us a message. We'll play it on the show.
Just like David Price.
Hello, Chris, his partner in crime, Sal, and the straw that stirs the Around Comics drink, Tom Caters.
Go F yourself.
But this is David Price, co-host of the Bullpen Bulletins podcast.
I'm kidding.
I'm not here to plug the... plug Bullpen Bulletin's podcast at the celebration
Jesus
of all things Marvel.
We're going to do this all the time?
Of course, with the vivacious Vince B. Not here to talk about that. Just wanted to call real quick, say hi, say hello, say hey. Wanted to
which one?
Touch base real quick. There was a, for, as I'm sure there are many listeners from last week that that are trying to hope to finally get some resolution and have that answer to Sal's question as far as what IDW Publishing stands for, and that would be Idea and Design Works.
Ah.
And Chris also brought something
calls up, me out here.
He mentioned that Spider-Man Superman was the first Marvel and DC crossover.
Not first one I knew of.
True, it's the first superhero crossover, but as far as what the two publishing giants did together, about a half a year before that, Marvel and DC decided to join together and publish a comic adaptation of MGM's The Wizard of Oz. So that came out in 75. Superman versus Spider-Man came out in 76. About 5 years later, in 1981, you had Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, and Hulk later in the same year. And those four were all oversized, the Treasury...
showing his nerd cred.
Books, and then in 1982.
This is what you get on Bullpen Bulletins.
And actually, I think it's mine as well. X-Men Teen Titans.
Yep.
More of a standard size comic book, double size, nice backs to paper, beautiful artwork, great story. We want to just chat about today. Again, loving what you guys are doing.
Nerd.
I'll keep listening. I thought 51 was a great episode. I'm just really looking forward to seeing you guys
great,
real soon.
Word,
hope everybody's doing well, and I'll
correct
talk to you later. Take care, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
We love that.
We
man.
Talked to David on the way up.
Yeah, he called us on the way in. What are you guys doing? Going to the show?
Printed like, on Baxter paper. Fantastic.
That's
David Price, Vince B., the host of Bullpen Bulletins. If you're not listening to it, yes, should be. It is a great podcast.
The podcast for all Marvel zombies.
If you're not listening to it. You probably have like things to do or something.
Stop.
But if you're listening to this, you've got fucking time to listen to that.
Shop it around comics.
Shop it around comics. Buy t-shirts, thongs,
coffee mugs.
I'm telling you, I'm wearing my thong right now.
AIDS baby.
How's it fit?
Buy an AIDS baby.
You buy an AIDS baby for around comics. There you go.
Oh, no.
They all need homes.
So you can also anything if you're gonna buy something from Amazon, you can buy it through our website.
And if it's not at the Around Comics Amazon store, send Sal an email at sal@aroundcomics.com. He'll get it in the store and take care of you.
Or I'll just send me the money and I'll order it.
Yeah.
And send it to you.
All right, Frapper. We love the Frapper.
Yeah, Frapper. We got Frapper.
Shut up.
I'm lost. Wait a minute. Where's
page
Frapper?
3. We love the Frapper.
All these fucking announcements. Oh, we had a lot of Frapper people this week. Let's start with Peter Eliasson from Gothenburg, Vastra, Godalons, Ion, Sweden.
Holy shit.
So, Gothenburg? I'm so glad you read these.
How's the weather in Sweden? Yeah, I noticed that
sounds
I'm always...
like the Rain Man of, like, accents.
Well, here, we'll switch Gothenburg? Off. The next one is from Dan in Westerville, Ohio.
Oh, real easy.
Dan. Virgo, should personally thank you for the amount of money I have recently spent trying to catch up with Fables and Exterminators. Way to go, Dan.
Hey, if you need Fables issues, I have a bunch of them in my car that I could send to you.
Well, Sal, start driving to Westerville, Ohio. I'm on my way.
Joe Wiley from Dalton, Michigan. Mark Florence from Vallejo, California. Bam from New York, New York, who said, thought you guys could use a little more vagina on your Frapper map. Thanks for the great show. I'm assuming
I hope
Bam,
that Bam
is a
woman.
Yeah, or a serial killer.
Or
puts
transgender.
The lotion in the basket.
Transgender. Could be
transgender.
Could be a shapeshifter.
The lotion in the basket.
Next
the fucking
is,
lotion in the basket.
Tim Loika from San Diego. Loika, we know that name.
Loika. He's Pat's brother.
That
too.
Is
West
Pat's
side.
Brother.
He said, West side.
Yes, Path to Armageddon. He is Pat's partner on that book. And
Jesse Willis from Greenville, South Carolina. Sean Ezopardi from London, England. Hi from London. I love the show, and it helps ease the pain of a 12-hour shift working in a block of flats as a concierge. Still, it's good material for self-publishing comics, imaginatively titled 12-Hour Shift. See the work at www.fatcatz.org.uk. Keep up the good work and tell Tom to not mix the beef with the whiskey. Always use a separate glass.
People that you know what's funny? But the way the episode was ordered, I don't think people really captured the essence of how hard I crashed at the end of that. Until last week, I was just like not saying anything about it.
Tom was a beef and scotch mess.
By like 11 o'clock, I was just like...
He was just holding his head in his hand.
I can't do it anymore.
Let it in.
Yeah, whatever.
Next is Ryan Stegman from Troy, Minnesota. He goes, I like your
show. Michigan, dumbass.
MN is Minnesota. I'm sorry, Michigan. Which is where Detroit is, right?
Yeah.
Who lost to the Cardinals?
All right. He said, I like your show. It helps drawing comics a lot more.
It helps drawing comics a lot more bearable. Oh, yeah. I should add that I draw comics.
I love people just send us plugs for their
the
show.
The Magician for DB Pro Marvel starting with issue 4. Cool, huh? Well, I haven't read it, so I don't know.
Oh, that's from Dabble Brothers?
Dabble Brothers. That probably will be cool. Can any of you guys do cartwheels?
Yes.
No. I have a funny story about
this. I can do cartwheels.
Oh, God.
I imagine myself as a child.
I can do one-handed cartwheels.
My brother and I used to do cartwheels, and I thought I was awesome at cartwheels. And when my parents
came to visit... I can do a cartwheel
visit,
on a balance beam.
What the
I swear.
Okay,
I was
we'll
a
get back to this.
You
and my
were
parents came to
many, many pounds ago.
The fuck?
I'm sorry.
Many beers ago.
It's like Rodney Dangerfield in like Back to School.
Hey. Triple Lindy.
Ryan Salazar, exactly.
It came in handy when I auditioned for the John Belushi role in the Blues Brothers Broadway show. But that's another story for another time.
I thought I could do cartwheels, and then my parents came to visit like last weekend, and for some reason the topic of cartwheels came up, and I'm like, oh yeah, I was awesome at cartwheels. And my dad just goes, no, you weren't. We just told you that because it turns out I sucked at cartwheels. My brother was awesome, and I just couldn't tell the difference.
But we encourage you to do the same, son.
All right, back to the Frapper map. Brian Both, those at Thousand Oaks, California. Dwayne from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, said, "Show rules." He's a man of few words.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
few words and no.
Go to roundcomics.com/frapper, I think.
Yeah, or is it the community? The community section under the in the main navigation.
Sign up, and we'll read your city.
Yep, and you can also after you join the Frapper, you can spread
one dude,
we
had one guy from like Portugal that put his. Was it Portugal? I don't know where it was from. But he put his entire address in there. I went in and edited. I'm like, whoa, dude, you don't want to put your entire address
online. You don't
want
us to know where
you
live.
You have those angry Spaniards coming in, kicking your ass.
Could I be in, like, you know?
Oh, you can put any, you can put any address.
I put myself as North Pole, exactly. But then there is a North Pole, Alaska. And I thought, is this the magnetic North Pole? For all you science
but
nerds.
There's an actual town.
Yeah,
North Pole,
it was very disappointing. We have an Alaskan listener.
Yes, in Anchorage. Yes, on the Frapper.
There's plenty of girls in Canada that listen to us, but you wouldn't know any of them.
I think I met caters in Canada.
Yeah.
I seem to remember.
Yeah, they're models. You wouldn't know them.
All right, guys, please spread the Around Comics love. You can do that by taking part of our Listener LCS Challenge on the left side of the navigation at our home site. There is a banner that says Listener LCS Challenge. You can download our flyer. Ask your local comic shop owner or manager if they would display that in their shop. And if they do, we will mention you on the show, just like Chaz Moore for getting J.R. Deans to display our flyer at Nova Comics, located at 6324 Springfield Plaza in Springfield, Virginia. BuyMeToys.com at 6327 University Comics in South Bend, Indiana. Thank you, Kelly. Dragon's Lair Comics and Fantasy at 6111 Burnett Road in Austin, Texas. The Source Comics and Games in Falcon Heights, Minnesota. And California Cards and Comics in Elk Grove, California.
Elk Grove, hello.
Thank you all. All right, guys, that'll do it for the first half of the show. That means it's time to move over to the news desk. It is time for Wired Wire Comic News. Top headlines for the week of October 30th, 2006.
Wizard Conventions announced its schedule for the 2007 and 2008 Wizard World Conventions, the country's foremost touring events for pop culture and comic books. The 2007 Wizard World schedule will mirror that of 2006, which is on pace to become Wizard's most successful convention year yet, with record attendance in Los Angeles, Philadelphia, and Chicago. To better serve the needs of exhibitors and fans, Wizard is altering the 2008 Wizard World Tour to reflect a more condensed focus on spring and summer months. This new condensed schedule will allow Wizard World fans, exhibitors, and retailers to visit all the year's important pop culture events, and will position Wizard World to deliver more exclusives, special guests, and surprises to its fans. The Wizard World 2008 schedule will create a rapid-fire succession of the industry's best events from coast to coast right in the middle of the year, said Rob Felton, Vice President and Associate Publisher. Our exhibitors told us that they want to give Wizard World their full and undivided attention to create the best experience for our fans, and this schedule will allow for just that. The full 2007 and 2008 schedules are as follows. In 2007, Wizard World Los Angeles will run from March 16th through the 18th. Wizard World Philadelphia will run from June 15th through the 17th. Wizard World Chicago will run from August 9th through the 12th, and Wizard World Texas will run from November 2nd through the 4th. In 2008, Los Angeles will run from April 12th through the 14th, Philadelphia from May 29th through June 1st, Chicago moves to June 26th through the 29th, and Texas will be on November 7th through the 9th. Wizard Conventions recently attracted 58,000 attendees to its 10th annual Wizard World Chicago event at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. Wizard World Texas is the next show on the 2006 tour, slated for November 10th through the 12th in Arlington. DC Comics unveiled its new collected editions for the start of 2007, with titles scheduled to arrive in stores in January and February. The new list of titles includes 11 that collected stories from the DCU's enormously successful One Year Later event. Also on the list are Wildstorm's American Way, the debut collection of Vertigo's Jack of Fables, and numerous new CMX volumes. DC's collected editions for January and February are Batman Secrets, Batman Year 100, Crisis Aftermath, The Battle for Bloodhaven, Fallen Angel, Volume 2, Down to Earth, Green Lantern Archives, Volume 6, Hardcover, Ion, The Torchbearer, Volume 1, JSA Classified, Honor Among Thieves, JSA Volume 12, Ghost Stories, Manhunter, Volume 2, Trial by Fire, The Outsiders, The Good Fight, Seven Soldiers of Victory, Volume 4, Showcase Presents The Brave and the Bold, The Batman Team-Ups, Volume 1. Showcase Presents The Justice League of America, Volume 2. Superman, Back in Action, Superman, Emperor, Joker. Testament, Volume 2, West of Eden. Lucifer, Volume 11, Evensong. Doom Patrol, Volume 5, Magic Bus. Coming in February are Batman, The Greatest Stories Ever Told, Volume 2. Birds of Prey, Perfect Pitch. Checkmate, The King's Game. Firestorm, The Nuclear Man, Reborn, Justice Society Volume 2, Justice Volume 2 Hardcover, Commandi Archives Volume 2 Hardcover, Showcase Presents Aquaman Volume 1, Showcase Presents Green Lantern Volume 2, Superman Camelot Falls Hardcover, Superman Chronicles Volume 2, Teen Titans Titans Around the World, The American Way, Danger Girl, Back in Black, DMZ Volume 2, Body of a Journalist, Jack of Fables Volume 1, The Nearly Great Escape, and Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere. Spinning out of an issue of The Ultimate Fantastic Four, Marvel Zombies by writer Robert Kirkman and artist Sean Phillips, with painted covers by Arthur Soydom, was the runaway hit of 2006. Crossing the undead with the Marvel Universe was a huge success, and fans have demanded more. Their demands were answered when it was revealed a Marvel Zombies prequel one-shot was in the works by the same creative team, but the excitement does not stop there. Marvel Zombies vs. the Army of Darkness is a 5-issue crossover limited series co-published by Dynamite Entertainment and Marvel Comics, and it's Marvel's first multi-part intercompany crossover since 2003's JLA Avengers. Debuting in March, the smash-up of the Marvel Universe and the cult horror film franchise will be written by John Layman with art by Fabiano Neves and June Chung, with covers by Marvel Zombies cover artist Arthur Soydom. Oh, and serving as creative consultant on the project is the aforementioned Robert Kirkman. Frank Castle is back in the Marvel Universe, and unlike others who've tiptoed the line between anti and pro-registration, Frank is diving right into the Civil War, starting in an all-new ongoing series, Punisher War Journal. Frank's not likely to have second thoughts about his role. Those who deserve punishment will pay, and the sentence is death. Written by Matt Fraction, with Young Guns Reloaded artist Ariel Olivetti, Punisher War Journal ties directly into Civil War No. 5 and guarantees to change the tide of the war. What is Frank's plan? How will he affect this war? Only he knows, and we're too scared to ask. But you can view a trailer at www.marvel.com. For the first time in recent memory, both DC and Marvel had books in the top 10 on the BookScan list of best-selling graphic novels in bookstores. Though the Marvel title was actually the Marvel Encyclopedia from DK Publishing, which moved up to number 5 on the list for the week ending October 22nd. Geoff Johns' Infinite Crisis from DC Comics dropped from number 5 on the previous week's list to number 9. To celebrate the highly anticipated release of The Black Parade, the new album by My Chemical Romance, Dark Horse is proud to preview Gerard Way's upcoming comic series, The Umbrella Academy. The Umbrella Academy tells the story of 7 extraordinary, maladjusted individuals and their plight to protect the planet. The series begins when the Umbrella Academy, now grown up and disbanded, learn their adopted father, Sir Reginald Hargreaves, aka the Monocle, has died. When the former team members become aware of a new world-ending threat, they must put their personal and interpersonal problems aside and unite the supergroup once more to do what they were born to do: save the world. While continuing to work on the first series, Gerard has put together a special webcomic strip as a preview that is available exclusively at www.darkhorse.com. After years in the proverbial development hell and seeing names like the pre-Pirates of the Caribbean Johnny Depp attached to the title role and later Vince Vaughn as Racer X, Speed Racer may finally be headed to the big screen with Larry and Andy Wachowski behind the wheel. This according to The Hollywood Reporter. The trade reports the Wachowski brothers are writing and will direct the movie, which will be produced by Joel Silver and distributed by Warner Brothers. The movie will be the brothers' first directorial outing since completing the Matrix series in 2003 and will reunite them with several members of their Matrix production team, including executive producer Grant Hill and Oscar-winning visual effects supervisor John Guaita. These have been your top headlines. For the full version of these and other stories, go to www.aroundcomics.com, your source for the best in comics news, reviews, and opinions.
And those are your top headlines for the week. Let's take it from the top. We've got Wizard World has, or actually Wizard Conventions, has announced their new slate of conventions for not only 2007, but 2008. 2007, a little bit of moving around. It looks like Wizard World Chicago, the one that affects us the most, is moved back a little bit. It's the 9th through the 12th. Is that?
August 9th through 12th.
When was it this year?
Third, fourth, fifth.
So it's back a little bit.
Yeah, they move.
It's not the same weekend as Lollapalooza.
Well, thank goodness. Okay. So Tom can make it.
And it's another week past San Diego. So we've got 3 weeks breathing room there.
Oh, shit. That's what? My girlfriend's birthday.
Oh, we're screwed.
August 12th is, so that's Sunday.
Sunday.
You can, happy you Wizard can World. Deflate her and blow her back up later. It's not
as a gift for her, I'll get her a ticket to Wizard World.
Exactly.
Honey, meet Luke Ferrigno.
But I think what's really interesting is look at the 2008 schedule. You've got Los Angeles from April 12th to the 14th, Philadelphia from May 29th to June 1st, Wizard World Chicago, June 26th to the 29th. And then Texas, November 7th through 9th. So we're going from...
Wow, why is there such a huge gap between Chicago and Texas?
Because of San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I mean, that's...
makes sense.
I talked to a couple creators recently, and we were talking about how close both shows were. And most of them were saying that, yeah, Chicago was a real grind.
Because it was just two weeks
after. And you really, as you guys know, just snap back the week after a convention.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all of a sudden you're preparing for another convention again. So, no, it really was ridiculous. And also, quite frankly, I don't think the talent is there at Wizard Chicago when it is that close to San Diego.
I think it's been alternating. It's like, guys will come 1 year and then skip the next. And so I'm hoping that this is going to help with that, because Chicago being in the middle of the country for fans within, you know, states surrounding, this is the only big time convention they have. So suck it, rest of the country.
Well, we want a better convention.
Well,
no, and we did get spoiled because Chicago used to be the top convention in the country before San Diego, and then always still held its own for years with San Diego, and it's only been since, I'd say, 2001 or two that I think there has been a dip in Chicago.
San Diego's become such more even than comics. I mean, that's
well, yes, well, and of course, and its proximity to L.A. as well.
I've been hanging out at the cosplay websites, and I'm going to Dragon Con next year. That's all I know. But
listen, you know what? You talk about talent at Wizard World. Excuse me, Joyce the fucking Whip.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. All right, you got me there.
Priscilla Barnes.
I know.
Jaws. From James Bond.
Even Priscilla Barnes makes more sense. I still didn't get Joyce.
Who was the original Lois Lane was there?
Yeah, Noelle Neal.
Like 900 years old.
Yes, but it's great.
What's really funny is I saw her actually, somebody went up to her, gave her the $20 for the autograph, called someone else, and Noelle Neal actually got on their cell phone and talked to her. Was they called to?
That's
that was
cute.
Really sweet.
Well, she was a
that's
sweet.
Cute.
Well, you know, she needs to get her meds this week.
She's she's cool. She comes to that
Medicare,
Metropolis,
you know,
summertime Superman thing every year
down in Illinois.
Yeah.
Metropolis, Illinois, home
exactly.
of Superman.
We should hit that
and nothing else.
Pretty much.
I'll do it.
I'd go to what?
I want to go.
Metropolis. They always get one of. They always get one of the writers. DC takes care of them.
I'm from Marion, so.
That's they right take down. Care of them
That's
down
true.
There.
That's true. Let's go.
All right, we got a road trip to Metropolis.
All right, guys, a big old slate.
I got the RV.
the caddy. We're taking the caddy to
Sweet.
Metropolis.
Yeah, exactly.
Chicago like podcast road trip.
Flounders Brothers, exactly. Flounders Brothers caddy, man. We're going.
We'll go to Cairo. So, Cairo, not Cairo.
That's right, Cairo.
DC, big slate of trades announced. It looks like, you know, I'm not going to read them all off. Bunch of stuff, but it looks like DC is finally getting the idea that they've got to come out with trades in a fairly timely fashion and not be so behind the curve. So.
They're catching up.
Yeah.
And then even the stuff they've announced after this, the March-April stuff, is even more aggressive as far as getting stuff out there, like storylines that we haven't even... That's not on here. This is even newer news, John.
I see.
But you know,
what's coming up in March and April?
Breaking news.
More trades, you're saying? Or?
Yeah, more trades. Just like things getting released much
AIDS
closer.
Babies.
Like
AIDS
Aquaman trade.
It's all being directly
up
to Tom's head, so that's
maybe
how he knows
not,
all this.
But I mean, the fact that they've solicited a trade for something that isn't already done is a big step for DC.
Ooh,
as far
Firestorm
as
the Nuclear Man Reborn. I can't wait for that trade.
The
sorry,
everybody I talked to say that, you know, obviously the trade business is becoming a huge part, and they're realizing and recognizing that.
It's funny how they do, you know, on some titles they do a really good job of getting the trades out quickly, and then on other, and it seems like on the smaller titles they do a better job of getting the trades out than on
Firestorm. There's two trades maybe.
Yeah, or Gotham Central took forever, for example.
I think they
know.
At the same time you have maybe it's the Vertigo stuff that I look at more.
Well,
so.
Vertigo is a different animal.
They do an extremely
and that,
good job of
that's
the
their bread and
stuff.
Butter. That is where they make
their
sales.
They don't even have all of Jeff Johns' Flash run in print right now.
Yeah, Vertigo and Wildstorm I think is different because they being
that's
smaller
more,
get
more
the bang at
you
the trades.
That was full of shit.
We got you, man.
I was looking at the Superman Emperor Joker. That could be actually.
Well, that's been requested for so many years.
Like that woman at the
I was just going to mention her. Yeah.
She was very excited.
She was Yeah, she was very happy.
Very
and
true.
Very lonely.
Yeah, if you're listening, I saw, we always need more vagina on the craft.
thanks, Tom. I think Vince B is going to be very happy at the Commandy archives, Volume 2 hardcover.
Man,
coming out.
That was a great series.
Commandy's awesome.
It really was, and it lasted. That was the longest Fourth World book that went that made it through the 80s.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, it made it all the way up into that.
Sure it did.
And with Fourth World, the New God stuff coming out in Omnibus.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm really looking forward to it. All right.
I guess that technically wasn't part of the Fourth World. Now,
have you guys had enough of Marvel Zombies yet? No? No? You either?
You
no?
will shortly.
No? No, we love the Marvel Zombies.
You will shortly.
I've never read it.
What?
No.
You should.
I read Walking Dead, and I figure that's all the zombies I need right now.
Oh, no. So did you read Marvel Comics in the 80s?
Yeah.
Did you read Marvel Zombies?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
For the $20 for the hardcover. Was this a fucking ad? No. For the $20 for the hardcover, though,
so it's worth it.
The covers alone, the Sudham covers are phenomenal.
Arthur Sudham, right? Arthur Sudham.
Thanks, John. That's why we have John. Oh, you know, we never did. Guys, John Sentris is here.
From Word Balloon.
Hi.
Big surprise.
Hi. Oh. Yeah, really. Yeah, here's something new. Shit, Sentris.
We're
going to
try some
again.
New stuff. We're going to try some new stuff this week.
Okay. The Chicago podcasting community. Like, half the Chicago podcasting community.
Three of us. We had
Crankcast. Should we all show up at Crank's house?
Just knock on the door.
Let us in.
Crank! We got to record. Crank, move over, you bastards.
Hey, Frank Castle's coming back to the Marvel Universe. Did you know that, Chris?
I knew that. And you can actually watch a trailer of Punisher War Journal at Marvel.com.
Yes, you can.
Is that John Doakes doing the narration of the Marvel marketing? He's usually the guy who's been
guy
the
from
voice.
Civil War?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
It's fun that he does that. John, exactly.
In a world where the Punisher stopped being around for a while, and now
that's
he's
gonna
back.
Be great. I can't Fraction doing Marvel books. I think this is really a great thing.
Matt's one of our favorite, very favorite people in the whole world.
Very cool.
He's gonna destroy St.
Louis.
Nuke St. Louis.
Suck it,
in
Fraction.
Casanova. He's gonna fucking blow that to shit. Well, you can't make St. Louis that much worse than it already is.
What if he makes Chicago and St. Louis like giant walking cities with legs, and he has Chicago come down and fuck St. Louis? I'm just giving him ideas. I'm just giving him ideas.
Okay, next story. Won the World Series. Hello. Sorry.
For the first time in recent memory, both DC and Marvel had books in the top 10 on the books.
You don't have to read them.
No.
What?
Wait. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm skipping ahead.
But we already heard that
part. Anyway, Marvel Encyclopedia and Infinite Crisis cracked the top 10 on the book scan list.
Yes. That's huge.
Cool. That is huge. Yeah. Although it's
take that, manga.
Isn't that kind of weird, though, that the Marvel that the Marvel Encyclopedia is the book that
weird.
Did it? Why are people buying that?
Would that be for gaming purposes?
No,
Brad?
It's not gaming.
I mean, no, I know it's the old handbook. I understand that, but
it's like there was that much clamor for.
I was using sarcasm, Chris.
That's weird.
Well, and maybe actually, I could see libraries having it.
Yeah, that could be,
Because I remember
I think it's
those
more
were the
impressive
few
that
kind
Infinite,
of comic
well,
book-y
Infinite
thing
Crisis
that
went
when I was
down,
a kid that libraries would carry.
Yeah.
Sal, you picked up the new My Chemical Romance CD this week.
Good. I did.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I like it. I'm, kind of gothy.
And flexible.
And very flexible.
The flexible
I was wondering with that. I was wondering with the mascara.
I think we have a new comic book. I think we need to call it.
I was goth. Goth is just punk with black clothes. That's all goth. I was
the flexible goth.
I'm an old school punk, so,
I'm an old school punk.
What about the Bob?
I'm an old school punk, man. I go right back to 91, man.
91.
Old school. Oh, God. What are you, old school? I'm not even old enough to be old school
punk.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Why are we talking about My Chemical Romance?
Because the singer has a comic book that he wrote called the Umbrella Academy.
Is anybody here even remotely interested in picking that up?
I am, actually.
I hear that there's some individuals who are maladjusted.
I enjoyed the Dream Academy of the 1980s that gave us the fine song to love.
Why, are you just dismissing it because...
No, I'm not dismissing it.
His name's not Greg Rucka?
Yes.
Is that why that you're just...
Yeah. I heard Greg Rucka just joined My Chemical Romance. Is that true?
Because he's a punky, singer in a band.
I love maladjusted individuals.
Well, there you go.
I don't really like their music, I guess. So I guess it isn't. It doesn't appeal to me. Because,
I know what it's about.
What's
the book doesn't have anything to do with their music, I don't think.
No, but I mean, that's...
Seriously, that's a comic book.
But the thing is...
You're not going to listen to the fucking soundtrack.
No, but the thing is, if you come out and you say, this comic book's by so-and-so... from this okay. band, and that's what it is. And I say, oh, I don't really.
The Umbrella Academy tells the story of seven extraordinary maladjusted individuals and their plight to protect the planet. The series begins when the Umbrella Academy, now grown up and disbanded, learn their adopted father, Sir Reginald Hargreaves, alias
the Monocle.
The Monocle has died. I don't know, that might be fun. I can see it being kind of a funny, sort of Hellboyish.
When the former team members become aware of a new world-ending threat, they must put together their personal and interpersonal problems aside and unite the supergroup once more to do what they were born to do, save the world. While continuing to work on the first series, Gerard has put together a special
webcomic. We're going to have John reread the news for us.
There you go. Yeah. In a world.
I don't know. For those of you that maybe aren't Chemical Romance fans,
yes,
there's nothing
the
wrong
singer's
with
a very huge comic book fan.
That's
and that's
cool.
sort of where it all
I've heard that.
Have you ever seen his videos? Yeah. I mean, they're very, yeah. The album cover, album art's very comic book related. Yeah.
That's cool.
I will check. I was being
an ass.
I'll be snarky and mean.
You'll pick a fucking Witchblade for 100 issues, but you won't check
it.
Oh,
So, the Wachowski brothers are going to be doing Speed Racer movie.
Yeah.
Here he comes. Oh, sorry.
It's going to be a lot of bullet time as he's jumping into the car.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because, yeah, their whole thing, oh, we want to make it different.
I don't know.
They want to make a deal. This is going to be really special and different. And it's like, okay. All right. Why not?
Isn't one of the Wachowski brothers transgender?
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of LGBT, Wachowski brothers. Yeah.
One of them.
Wachowski brother.
Or the Wachowskis.
Are they?
I think they just go by the Wachowskis now.
Oh.
Then they sound a little too close for me. I don't like that.
I believe one of them.
I'm cool with it as long as I don't have to read it, look at
it. As long as it's not in my face. The Wachowskis
not in my backyard, buddy.
Yeah, as long as I don't have to read it, look at it, or no.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Not in slow-mo.
Well, guys, that will do it for the news.
Thank God.
That means it's time for Top of the Stack. That's right. It's Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. Tom? You usually go first on Top of the Stack?
My favorite book was Nightly News from Image this week, which I thought was amazing. It's written and drawn by Jonathan Hickman, who I sent an email last night because I was so excited about the book.
So enamored?
I was so enamored with it. It's about a cult that's trying to topple sort of mass media in America. Based on the fact that
where do I sign up?
The news isn't really the news anymore, and that it's sort of ruining a lot of people's lives. It's a very interesting book because there's like sections with infographics about who owns media companies, like to show you that only like 6 companies own all the media,
like
compared
to real information,
real graphs.
Wow, that's
kinda, you know. And it's sort of presented in a very interesting way, because they present.
Well, I thought it was amazing that this is the writer artist. This is the first book that he's ever published.
And it's really striking graphically too. Like it's not laid out like a comic book.
I haven't read it only because I didn't read anything this week. I didn't get my books this week.
Yeah.
But I remember when this was announced and I saw the cover image of it. I was like, wow, it looks amazing.
I loved it.
And the interior artwork is.
Yeah, I haven't even actually heard of that one. That sounds really interesting though.
It's a book that's completely. It took me a long time to read. It's very dense and very attractive, and I loved it. It was easily the best thing I read this week.
Wow,
and that
Time Warner owns Warner Brothers, CNN, Turner Entertainment, AOL, Life Books, Time, and DC Comics.
Yep.
Forgot to put that in there.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to mention is The Other Side. When I picked it last time, I said it could fall apart.
Yeah.
It didn't. It was really good, and it also had really nice references where one of the guys in the unit is a comic book fan, and it shows him holding like the first issue of The Flash where the Elongated Man is in it, and then it shows him reading like G.I. Combat and Haunted Tank, and he hands Haunted Tank to a guy, and he's like,
I've got a couple different things about The Other Side. Number one, you had said how much it reminded you of Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Do we talk about this on another episode?
We did when
I think we
about
mentioned
it.
Yeah, that
Jason Aaron, who writes The Other Side, his cousin wrote the novel that Full Metal Jacket was based on.
Right.
And good friend of the show, John Hook, is a friend of Jason Aaron's, and they're down in Kansas City, and the whole group of guys in that platoon are all named after guys that this Wednesday night club that meets at this comic shop. So I think John Hook is actually going to be one of the guys in that troupe.
I want to mention something now that you mentioned that. Nightly mm-hmm. News, they're having a contest where if you take a picture of yourself holding the first issue and email it to him, he'll pick two people to have them appear to be reporters in a future issue that get their heads blown off.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice. So the contest is at the website, which is in the back of the book.
Oh, we should totally do that as a round comic.
I already sent mine in.
Oh.
Last night, because I was so pumped. This good, book was good. Awesome.
Well, about the other side, I was going to say, I hadn't picked it up initially, and then when your review came out about it, I was like, well, I'm going to have to go read it. And I wasn't really looking forward to it at all. I have, at this point, like zero interest in anything to do with the Vietnam War anymore. Yeah. You know, just read enough and seen enough. And
well, you lived through it.
Well, I did live through it and lost, you know, an arm.
But now it's
no,
been,
I don't want
it's been retconned to diminish the Iraqi War now.
But I did pick it up last week and read it, and man, it was extremely good. I really enjoyed it a lot, and I was amazed that I did. I think for the most part it was because of the paradox between the two characters, the two main characters, and how they were. You know,
there's just
polar opposites,
creepy
but
stuff in
yeah.
it to make it interesting.
And but you were absolutely right. It did you know teeter on the edge of it could go downhill really quickly.
It didn't. It became better.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad. Yeah, all right.
So. Did you guys bring up the Twilight Zone that kind of had the same perspective that I can't even remember the name of it now. I wanted to say Keeper of the Purple Twilight, but that was an Outer Limits episode that is completely different. But there
was called
Point of View. I want to say it was called Point of View.
Nerd.
John's not.
There's a gremlin on the wing.
If I may, one of the personal favorite moments of said Twilight Zones was.
In the first issue, the ghost had 8 teeth. In the second issue, the ghost only had 60.
It was. Maybe you guys can remember. I remember growing up, there was a TV, an episode that it was like an hour long episode, I think. And. The first half was from the perspective of a U.S. infantryman and hunting a sniper, and the second half of the show was from the viewpoint of the sniper.
Are you saying the Twilight Zone?
Is that it?
Yeah.
I think that was an episode of The Equalizer.
This officer. Well, yeah, it's a whole thing of why are they our enemy and everything, and at first it's the American perspective. He drops his binoculars, and when he picks them up, he is suddenly a Japanese officer and goes to his superior and again says, why are they our enemy? And it's, this poignant little thing.
Ends, they live in a world full of guns, but they have no bullets.
Nice. Richard Matheson. I represent the estate of Richard Matheson.
Yeah.
Oh. Cease and desist.
What else came out this week? I didn't read anything. I didn't get my books.
Okay.
And of no fault to anyone but myself. But
I think this is, I guess it fits in with
our
topic.
Midnighter good?
Midnighter, number one from Wildstorm, came out this week. Garth Ennis, Chris Sprouse, and Carl Story.
Hell of a team.
I'm a Sprouse whore. I love Sprouse's art.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I was telling Sal earlier today, I've started reading Authority. I'm catching up. I don't know these characters that well. I don't really know the Midnighter character except for the little amount that I've read.
He's Batman.
He's great introduction. If you haven't read The Authority, if you don't know who Midnighter is, jump into the series. It sets up who he is and kind of what he's about, and he's a badass. Period. I mean, he's a total badass.
I threw it in my box because I heard so many good things about it, and I was just looking through it. I'm like, oh, this doesn't look. I was kind of disappointed by The Authority number one, so I'm hoping that this maybe will be...
Total 180 from Authority. Authority was all set up leading into something that's... Yeah, you said it best. You just read the first chapter of a trade. This was old-school, badass comic book.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's Midnighter taking on tanks in the desert.
Well, Midnighter's
it's got the whole sci-fi aspect.
Fun, even. He's just like, I need to kick some ass
today. I'm bored.
Yeah. So he finds this, and he goes to this conflict, and he takes care of it.
He actually spins a globe to find a place and puts his finger on it because he wants to go kick someone's ass. And so he's like, oh, Afghanistan looks good to me.
That's great. Midnighter's always been one of my favorite characters because he's just he's always been a real complex character beyond the fact that he's a gay character. But, you know, he's a creature of bioengineering. You know, he was made to be, you know, a living weapon. But there always seemed to be more to him than that. I mean, it almost, and sometimes he always felt like
beholden to that. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, but trying to get away from it. Like, that's who he is, but he can't run away from it enough. He can't get away from that. You know, he doesn't necessarily always want to be that character, but at the same time, there are moments where he really relishes being that character, and that's why I always really enjoyed that. So I was really looking forward to that. Unfortunately, I didn't get my
the opening inner monologue, to hopefully not spoil it, is he's kind of describing himself. He says, "I'm not a lover, I'm not a father, I am not a friend, I am what I was bred to be." And it kind of plays off that. Steve, you?
You it's funny because when you told me that the top of the stack, I thought you said the last week, so I was looking at last week's stuff.
Oh, that's all right.
That no. I got. Well, so I was going to mention next week.
I'm
because
sorry,
I
can't take your answer.
He has nothing.
Okay,
you're
next, you're
John.
The
John,
official register will show he had no choice.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's
no, I'm going to jump in again now. Next Wave was awesome. I tell everybody to get Next Wave because I love it to death. And Midnighter was really great this week. I liked
that's
that
cool.
a lot, yeah. And 52 is just a fanboy stroke. That's all there is to
and
that.
Justice League of America was good too.
I can't get that.
Thank you. I dropped it with
I,
issue two.
My top of the stack
of
was
the Black Marvel family.
Isn't that fantastic?
Black Adam and,
I don't want to spoil something for you, but they. If you like Takitani, they've done something.
No, we're never going to say it again.
Fucking
was
awesome.
No,
they did something just great.
With Takitani?
Not to Takitani. There's now sort of a Black Marvel family version of Takitani. You have to read it. It's great. I fucking
when did that happen in the
at
last
the end
issue?
Of their last issue.
Oh, okay. I started reading it, but I haven't
get to the end. Man.
Oh,
it's right. Just awesome.
Is that the leap you made? That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, now I know what he's talking about. I thought he was yanking your
Black
chin.
Black Adam is
no,
what he's talking
like
about
that's
now.
How I read it. And
I
was I
like
oh.
I like that interpretation, Tom. I think that's very
Black
cool.
Black Adam has become one of my favorite comic book characters.
Because people were bitching, like, where am I going to get my Captain Marvel fix? Because people are like, I like the goofy stuff. And funny enough, it's like the Black Marvel family in 52.
They are retro. They're
the,
yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes, are. Weird humor. And yeah, no, yeah. I agree with that.
Because he's, like, so out of touch with reality to some degree. I mean, that whole...
They've updated it
right,
somehow,
right,
but
right.
kept it the same. Like, Black Adam's dark, but you still have that same...
Feeling
I mean,
of...
Any
of
comic book where you have the Savannah kids with the... Magnificus
and Beauty
God,
and Beauty.
God bless them. God. Yeah.
Yeah,
I love. I,
and
know,
their mom.
Have you, not gotten,
yeah.
you ever
yeah.
read 52 this week?
I haven't
just
caught
fantastic.
Up to it. No, I haven't.
Well,
I
then
caught
close
up.
Your ears for a minute. Yeah,
I
that was fantastic.
Oh, it was, you know, and I thought that scene was
on.
Going to be at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because, and even based on what they said at the conventions and stuff, it was Thanksgiving with the Savannahs. And I'm like, oh, that'll be fun. And it still is a very fun scene, but I thought it was interesting that it was this week and not a scene that was saved for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
but maybe they got
it. Looked like it though, because you know,
sure.
There
well,
a
yeah, no,
turkeys
yeah,
on
exactly. It was definitely a holiday looking meal. So
from after
whatever.
Halloween's over, you're right in the
yeah. Who cares? Yeah. I mean, it's cool. I liked, and it's from last week, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Superman Batman annual.
Oh, I love that.
Joe
that was
Kelly.
Epic too. Yeah, last
fantastic. I mean, just so much fun. And have you read the original story, Tom?
Yes.
And so have I. And it was great how it. You know, still, you know, did honor to that original story and then also spun into a fun story that I think the same vibe that they were trying to do with the Loeb series, but I think Joe Kelly did it better, quite frankly, and did it in
one issue.
One issue,
exactly.
Yes.
And Batman and Superman find out who they are by having to share a cabin on a boat.
Which happened in the 50s as well. And again, that's the great thing.
It's male bonding.
But it's like Galactica. It's in the same way that Battlestar Galactica is good, and old fans can appreciate it and say, oh, yeah, now look at that. They did the same thing.
I wanted, from Steven's podcast, he was questioning the value of the new Richard Donner, Jeff Johns Action Comics
Ooh.
Issue a little bit.
Action 844.
844.
I liked it.
He was wondering, you know, what... You know, I did, too. I liked it. You know, was it revolutionary? Was it something that, you know, completely retold Superman?
You know,
no. And that's what I liked about
it. You picked it up and you thought, I got to get next month's issue. Is that what you thought?
No, I'm not. No, I don't think it was.
It wasn't compelling enough to want you to stick around.
I probably will. It wasn't something that I was blown away by.
Really,
but it was something that I enjoyed. I thought the artwork, especially.
Man,
I liked a
fantastic.
Lot. I really enjoyed
fantastic.
That.
You're not
wrong.
An Andy fan.
Wrong.
No,
I
think Andy is a fabulous storyteller. He knows how to lay out a page so that you can read it and follow it just well. I think there, I don't know if it's him or if it's his inker, there's some inconsistencies that kind of bothered me as a fanboy that I am. Yes, I'm fat and sweaty right now.
That's me.
He's expanding as he talks.
As I speak, I'm getting bigger.
And he won't be sleeping with a woman later. Did anyone want to read a book that was like sort of like the movie?
Yes.
But I think that's true.
I did.
Superman Comics, what?
Superman Comics
for a long
suck.
Time
they,
suck.
Yes, they
yeah,
did.
Well, or nothing.
Because
nothing
they
interesting
like the
has
movie.
Been happening. The Superman movie.
I think you're wrong, though, because I actually like what Kurt Busiek is doing in the Superman title, the actual Superman title.
Yeah, I mean, but from the period of like, most of when I was a kid.
But
yeah.
That's only by, it's
that
like,
was last week.
It's relative.
Yeah, I'm very, I'm 12.
It's relative to what has come out for the last 15 years.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I,
I
to
agree.
The most part.
I agree.
I think Loeb's run
in the main
is,
title.
Is, has become a forgotten run, and I think a lot of, Loeb had a lot of good stories during that run.
He did.
I thought Joe Casey had a lot of interesting stories, but I agree with you. There was a time when, quite frankly, when Siegel was doing the book, it did lose its way, and there were a lot of bad things. But I think in the last year, post Azzarello and Jim Lee, I think they've had. I thought Rucka's run.
I agree
was
that
great.
They have.
I liked Rucka's run
of
definitely.
Of late, they have done good things.
But I like this change too. I like seeing Jor-El being part of the story. I always thought that was a neat thing about the movies, and I'm glad they kind of brought.
I did
that
think the beard was a little strange.
Well, they were told they couldn't
can't
make
do Brando
him.
Version.
Donner
do Brando.
Wanted. Donner's like, can we make him look
Brando?
Like Brando? And
they
John's just like, no, man, we can't because of possible lawsuits and stuff.
Oh,
so
I guess my whole problem with it is like I had said in my podcast is that I love the Superman movie. That's the one movie that's my number one superhero movie.
Really, okay.
I put that one up on the top. I hold everything else up to that to compare it. I love that movie to death. I don't need to read it in 2006, though. I saw that movie in 1977, 78 when it came out.
Yeah.
I saw it in the theater. I sat there and watched twice, two times in a row.
Yeah, but it's not like they did an adaptation
but
of
they
the
basically,
film.
But,
I mean,
but
it's
they're
the
they're
Richard Donner Superman character and Clark Kent character and traits. And
but did you like Clark Kent in the Superman movie?
Yes, absolutely.
Did you like Clark Kent in Superman Returns?
The only reason I didn't.
He was a non-character.
The only reason I didn't is because it was a weak.
Sister version
of Christopher Reeve. It was someone pretending to be Christopher Reeve.
I agree with that.
It was.
The only reason that I didn't like that
but
character.
I think
did you get that same vibe from the comic book?
I'm sorry?
Did you get that
yes,
same
I did.
Vibe?
Oh,
okay.
I totally
see,
did.
See, I kind of buy
that
into...
That second page when you open up
when
to
the
double-faced spread
up to his nose
with where they're talking to Perry. First off, when did Perry become J. Jonah Jameson?
Jameson?
That's the guy I'm talking about. When did he become such a hard-ass like that? And I thought that Clark came across like Christopher Reeve Clark, and I thought, well, wait a minute, we've gone past that already. I loved John Byrne's version of Superman in the 80s. I loved the fact that he was a man before he was Superman. I love the fact that he was raised on Earth and he was a human before he was Kryptonian, and that he had those sensibilities to it. I feel as if they're trying to kind of shoehorn Superman back into the Silver Age where he's Kryptonian first and then, oh, well, I'm living amongst the humans.
I think there's a thing with Superman more than any other character. I think Superman almost demands a certain amount that you have to forget when you start reading a Superman about all the other Superman stuff beforehand.
You only have 60 years of
so many different attempts to
so
make
many
him.
Different versions, so many different...
I mean, that,
and that was,
that's just
I understand what you're
Superman.
Saying, and I can see that, but like Tom's saying, it's like, well, you can't hold any story written today up to something that's been done before in any of its history. I mean, you know what I mean? Because you have so much history and so many good and bad and different versions of the same character. I mean, you just sort of have to take it in this context of the story that's being told. Superman is an iconic character. It's not. There is no one way to tell that character. There's no one way to portray that character.
I agree with that.
That
yeah.
Everyone's going to be happy with. He's such an icon. It's to me almost beyond.
I know the right way.
Well, you may, but
a couple notables from the last week. Athena Voltaire number Yay. 2 came out. Check out the ads in the back. thank you, Steve. Athena Voltaire, great book. Go check it out. Jersey Drozd, one of our posters on the forum and a friend of the show, sent Sal and I a review copy of Tales of the Front, presents The Origin of Jared. Tom, we'll give you a copy, too. So, Jersey, we're going to take a look at it and give you some feedback next week. The Exterminators came out this week. Tom?
It was good.
All right.
I already told you what I like.
Fucking exciting commentary.
Yeah, the most bizarre date ever.
I already told you what I like.
How many beers have you had?
That's
so
a cool cover.
I've only had like five.
Great. Mike Hawthorne on art. Mike Hawthorne, if Tony Moore ever wanted to go on to another series, Mike Hawthorne could take over this series in a heartbeat. The art in it was great. Ex Machina wrapped up the Smoke story arc. Was fantastic. Ant-Man number 2 came out. Loved it.
I keep looking at
Sal, and he's like, I haven't got my books yet.
I wasted all my enthusiasm on the nightly news.
Local number 7, can't wait to get to it. Call of the Wild, that is Mike Oliveri and Joe Bucco's book from Moonstone. Great series.
All I know is you buy too many fucking comics.
Criminal number 2, Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips. Check it out. Superman Confidential. We've talked a lot about Superman today. Another look at more of a Golden Age look of Superman. Darwin Cook, Tim Sale. I really enjoyed it. And my almost top of the stack this week. Paul Dini is done from Detective Comics, and I forget his first name.
He's not done. He's coming back next.
Is he going to come back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is the fill-in issue. Thank God.
Okay, but Royal McGraw.
But I thought he was leaving it.
Yeah, and I thought he was.
He's right in the next one.
Okay. But Detective Comics 825, The Return of Dr. Phosphorus,
Big Brain on Time.
Was maybe next to Midnighter, my favorite book this week. So.
Really?
The Killer?
I thought Alfred talked like Oscar Wilde had just eaten a thesaurus. Like, the way he was talking. And he looked like MODOK in one... One panel, his head was huge. Anywho.
All right, guys, that'll do it for our top of the stack. That means we're just about done here. We are in the home stretch. We do have a couple listener emails.
What?
Sal, one from Don Morgan.
I think it's telling that we get so angry by the end.
Don Morgan said, I've been listening and enjoying the podcast for the last couple of months. The content is great, and I really like the new segments. My favorite quote of the week is from Daredevil. Quote, your French is poison to my ears, end quote. To improve the sound quality, you might consider investing in a compressor for the mics.
What are you talking about?
When someone gets excited, Tom, the volume jumps up as you all begin. Why is this an email? Why are we reading this email? This
why
is
are we telling?
You sent it to me.
I'll field this one. That's going to be my job as taking over as the producer here. So we're on it. Don't worry about it. Give us, four or five episodes for me to get used to it. But, yeah, Tom and I are working very hard at fixing that problem.
You're going to be working hard. I'm just going to do what I did before.
We have another one. This is from Dave.
I wish you were still an intern so you can get me a beer.
We're out of beer, actually.
We're out of beer? Well, gosh, we better wrap this puppy up.
Dave said,
look how angry we get.
I just put this site live a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it might interest your listeners. www.pullis.com.
Another plug.
No, but this one was actually
pretty cool.
It was actually, very cool.
What is it?
Every week he puts up all the new books that are coming out.
What
and
did
you
he
can,
put it out on?
I don't fucking know. Go to the site and check it out. Yeah. Pullis.com.
You know how every forum has their bots thoughts thread? This is kind of like a website.
And you can rate it and comment on each one. It's a blog, basically, but it's all set
cool.
up. It was actually
and
cool.
you can rate all that week's. We actually have one more listener voicemail.
You're shitting me.
So, guys, I know it's a little late, but here is my episode 50 dedication to you.
Drinking problem.
Did you ever know that you're my hero? You're everything I wish
Tom.
I could be.
Tom.
And I can fly higher than an
eagle.
Oh, cause you are the wind beneath my wings.
Well, that is a Bette Midler.
Wait,
50th episode.
I thought the Hidden Cove fucking karaoke bar was down the street.
Esteban 89.
Our good buddy Esteban 89. Thank you
the charm of my life.
Oh, we love Esteban.
Never felt this way before.
We love the Esteban.
Nobody puts a baby in the corner.
Hey, what a...
What a fun time. I want to remind everyone that we are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. The CPN is a collection of some of the best comic book podcasts on the net. You can learn more about the network and find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com. The forum, you guys were fantastic this week.
Very proud of the forum.
When they have a bad week, let's call them out on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You suck, forum.
You guys suck. This week, not.
Step it up.
This week, not suck it.
Undefeated.
Fabulous.
Versus sucking.
All right. And just so everyone is aware, we post a new topics on Tuesday to be recorded on Friday, so you can get all of your posts in so we can talk about them on Friday.
So you can do all our work for
us. So you can research everything for us. Please remember the Exterminators Bug Hut Contest, getting some more entries on that. That'll be wrapping up the end of November, so you've got about 4 weeks left on that. Get to reading and hunting. The Listener LCS Challenge, please do us a solid there. Podcast Alley votes, it's the beginning of the month. Drop us a vote there. iTunes music reviews, please be as cool as Andy Parks, if that were even humanly possible. Thank you to the Jesus New York Comic Con. Hey, I'm all juiced up. It's all cold in here. I'm excited.
I'm all ramped up. I'm all ramped up. Let's do it.
Thank you to the New York Comic Con. Can't wait to get out there. Everyone on the panel, Steve, thank you so much for dropping by and being a part of this
tonight.
Thank
you guys for asking me to come along. That was great.
Absolutely. I hope this is not the last time that we'll have you on Around Comics.
Who knows?
Who knows?
All right,
it all depends on whether or not Tom locks me up in his basement soon.
We may have you back for a non-gay topic.
Shut your mouth.
What? I know. It's craziness. Mr. Suntress over there in the corner, thank you for being a part of the show.
Thank you!
Dustin Grace, for all the work you did tonight and the work you'll do this weekend. don't fuck it up. Sal, as always. Tom, my two buddies. Everyone, have a fantastic week. We'll be back again next Monday with another full-length episode. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around
high school flexibility champion.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. For that and the latest in comics news and opinions, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next week, where the panel will change, but our mission stays the same, bringing you the best in discussion, news, and reviews in and around comics.